Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Well, welcome in on this beautiful Sunday morning.
We do have a studio full of movie critics. Now, normally, I don't even like hanging out with this many movie critics. It was against my grain. But I think we have kind of a refreshing group of voices to talk about what will be the movie event of 2018, Avengers Infinity War. Before we get to our junior movie critics here today, I want to bring in producer Tom Hush of the show, who is also quite the movie aficionado. Thanks. You saw the movie?
Yes, I did.
And?
I gotta say, it was one of the most interesting experiences I've ever had watching a Marvel movie. I'll say that much. I don't want to give away too much.
Wow. Yeah, see, this is going to be tricky for all of us, not only us grown-ups, but the kid critics also, to not give any spoilers away, because that's our number one goal. So it's a little bit difficult to talk about it. Like, is there a way for you to generalize? You say that's the most unusual experience. Do you mean that in a good way?
Yes, I would say I mean that in a good way, but I think people will walk out of this movie one way or another completely floored by what they managed to accomplish by taking 10 years of storytelling and putting it all in only, I mean, it's
into one paper bag.
Right. It's 2.5, 2 hours, 40 minutes, and it still feels like it just goes right by.
Yeah, I thought it shot by. It's so interesting, the different people's perspectives. I thought the 2 hours, 40 shot by.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, 2 hours, 40 plus stay for the credits, stay till the end of the credits.
Oh, you have to.
Really great bonus scene at the end of the credits. I've had people text me the movie was way too long, dragged way too long. Some just, you know, it's just not my opinion, but some people think that. Here's a texter who just checked in. 63 area code. Dean, you raved about Avengers and gave it a Dean's List A. Were you high when you saw it?
Oh, God. High on life.
What was in that popcorn?
Yeah, I've been suffering terrible glaucoma when I go to see the movies. A little medical humor this morning. The kids love their medical humor from Uncle D. No, I had a blast. I mean, obviously this person didn't like the movie. I'm sorry that you didn't like it. Honestly, I don't know how you couldn't have come out of this movie impressed, at least with what they were able to accomplish in that 2 hours and 40 minutes. Just my opinion of it. And most people who have seen the movie. But all opinions are valid. Reviews are just opinions. There's no such thing as a right one. There's no such thing as a wrong one. Everyone is entitled to their own opinion on it. And we're going to find out the opinions of four junior movie critics who we've invited in and open up the phone lines, too, for your opinions and your reviews of Avengers Infinity War. Shwani, did you get to... Oh, Shwani's not there. Shwani may have gone to see the movie. Shwani's taken off.
He's run over to River East.
He may have run over to catch the 9:15 this morning over at the River East.
No, I was trying to find some popcorn.
That special popcorn that I was eating?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
You were asking?
I was just wondering if you'd gone to see it.
The event? No, I have not. I saw a clip on the news last night because they were talking about the the box office and everything,
right.
And saw just 20 seconds of all the action in there, and they didn't give anything away really, but no, I haven't seen the movie yet.
Did you see my review of it on television?
I have not. I'm sorry, I did not.
Thanks for watching.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Andy? I know you've been busy. Andy, I'm going to give a pass.
I've had the movie of the Chicago White Sox 2018 season running through my head.
The White Sox Infinity War.
Yes.
Going on with you. All right, we're going to meet our junior movie critics when we come back after a quick break. It's Dean Richards Sunday morning. Boy, I'm getting goosebumps again. just hearing this music, bringing it all back. You know, I rarely will I ever go see a movie a second time. Just because of time. I don't have time. I see 3 to 5 new movies every week. Don't have time to go back and see, you know, ones that I like again. But I'm going to make time to see Avengers Infinity War again. Mostly because I don't feel like the Marvel and Disney company has made enough money this weekend. They are set for a record-breaking weekend for this Marvel mashup of 29 Marvel stars from 18 movies over the past 10 years. Story of a super bad guy Thanos, who is out to collect the 6 mystical stones, if captured, would allow him to rule the world and fulfill his promise of destroying half the population. There is only one group that could be strong enough to defeat him, and that are the Avengers. But even the Avengers can't do it, so they start bringing in practically everybody that you've met in previous Marvel movies. And that's basically what the story is about, without giving away some of the amazing spoilers in this movie. There are so many surprises and so many spoilers that you don't want to talk about publicly, you know, to spoil it for anybody else. But I thought beautiful movie making, number one, great acting, especially Josh Brolin, who plays the evil Thanos. You can sort of see that it's Josh Brolin under all the electronic makeup, I guess you might say, that they've put on him. But he's especially great in the movie, as are all the other heroes in the movie. But joining me today to also give their opinions and reviews, we thought we'd bring in a whole panel of critics, because this movie's going to be so big. And first up is Graham Ambrose, who has been with us here on the program before. He's my junior kid critic who sends me movies. I think you send me reviews about every week, don't you?
Around that time.
Just about that. Just about. He goes to see a lot of movies and gives us a lot of really great insights, really, really well thought out reviews. Also, we have Lucy Cunningham. Lucy, tell me a little about yourself.
I'm in 7th grade. I go to Taft High School, and yeah.
Are you a Marvel superhero fan?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and how about you, Dana Corso, senior at Glenbard East, right?
Yep.
And are you normally a Marvel movie fan also?
Yes, I've been a Marvel fan since the first Iron Man came out.
Really?
In 2008, yeah.
From the first movie.
Yeah.
Comic books?
Really been a big comic book girl, but I've definitely always liked the movies.
Yeah. Would you say that a lot of your girlfriends are also Marvel fans?
I would say a couple of them are. Like, I know a few of my friends are, but some girls are just like, oh, whatever, it's okay.
Yeah. How about you, Lucy? Are a lot of your girlfriends also Marvel fans?
A couple of them, yeah.
Yeah.
But not as many as you would think.
Not as many as the dopey boys?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And speaking of boys, let's go over to Oscar Nerit. Oscar, how are you doing this morning?
Good.
Scoot that microphone, just get a little bit closer to it.
Right.
Pull in a little bit closer to it, I can hear you a little better. You're 9 years old, is that right?
Yeah.
All right, and what school do you go to?
I go to Waters Elementary.
Yeah, what's your favorite subject there?
I like science the best.
Oh, you're a science guy. So let me see, if you're a science guy, do you like Doctor Strange the best of all the Marvel characters?
No.
No? Who do you like best?
I like Hulk the best.
You like Hulk the best? Even though his science experiment went a little wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what did you think? You start us off. What did you think of Infinity Wars?
I thought it was great. I didn't really think there's anything wrong with it. Yeah.
What?
And, yeah.
Was there a part of the movie that you liked best? And I'm just reminding everybody 100 times, don't give away anything.
Yes, there was.
Yeah. But would it be one of those things that we don't want to talk about?
Yeah.
Okay. Tricky, tricky, tricky. What did you think of the bad guy, Thanos?
I thought he was stronger than he looked like he was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, yeah.
How do you think he compares to other villains? You've seen other Marvel movies, right?
Yeah.
How do you think he compares with some of the other villains?
I think he's sort of like a couple, similar to a couple. Like, he's kind of like a Loki kind of.
Yeah. Loki, brother of Thor. Sometimes bad guy, mostly sometimes bad guy. How about for you, Dana? What did you think of the movie?
I thought it was fantastic. I thought that it really brought together all that Marvel's done in the last 10 years. And I thought I could see where people wouldn't like some parts of it, but I definitely thought it was an amazing movie.
What parts would you think that other people wouldn't like?
I could feel like I can see the ending.
Right.
Definitely. Some parts are when you think the good guy's going to come out on top.
Right.
And sometimes they get shot down, and then you have this moment where you're like, oh, no, I was really rooting for the good guy.
Right, 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 right.
And, yeah.
Yeah, so, Lucy, did you think, like I did a couple of times during this movie, that something happened in the movie? And then, oh, so this is the ending of the, this is how it's going to end, right here.
Yeah, definitely.
And then it didn't, yeah, right?
It seemed to go on, but, like, not in a bad way. It was, like, I thought the time was good. I didn't think it, like, lasted forever in a bad way. But, like, there was, like, so many fights, and I kept on thinking, oh, this is it. Like, this is the end. This is when, like, it's all just going to end. But, it didn't even end, like, at the end.
Yeah, it kept going. It surprised you in that way, right?
Definitely.
Because I can only speak for myself that I thought the movie was going to go this way, and, oh, this is how it's going to end. And then it didn't, and it went another way, and did that a couple of times. So, Mr. Graham, Mr. Ambrose.
All right, well.
Oh. Go ahead.
Well, for starters, the villain isn't like, Thanos isn't technically like Loki in the sense that he doesn't feel anything. He sheds tears. He bleeds blood. He's just like any other mortal man, except for the fact that he has these grandiose plans to eradicate the universe. Or at least half of it. Yeah, he feels emotions. He's not. He kind of reminds me of Killmonger in that sense, from Black Panther.
Yeah.
They're both human, despite having these non-so-human feelings towards people.
I'm going to interrupt for a second, but just to add, and I'm sure that if you're all Marvel fans, you probably know this, that Marvel comics and these movies have been famous for not only cool superhero movies, but having a message to them, and like kind of an important social message. And I think what Graham is saying here is that Thanos and Killmonger in Black Panther, even though they were villains, in their minds, thought that they were doing very humanitarian things. And what they were doing was trying to solve problems facing the world. So, I mean, there, in addition to all the explosions and all the fights and all that, this very important message of humans have not done a good job taking care of the world. And Thanos' plan of killing half the people, as crazy as that sounds, is genocidal as it is actually his well-thought-out plan to help fix the world, thus the Marvel social message that we always get.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to interrupt, Professor.
No, it's fine. I always like a fresher perspective.
So what else? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. You were talking about Thanos.
And, A couple of the things reminded me, well, mainly the running time, it kind of reminded me of Peter Jackson's Return of the King, like Lord of the Rings. At least it's not, when it comes to like, I think Return of the King hit the 3-hour mark.
It did.
And it's not when it literally fakes you out in the ending. Like, the screen cuts to black, you think it's going to be over, but then another part of the movie comes on. And I can see how people could be frustrated with the longer running time. But at the same time, this is the culmination of like 18 or 19 films, so you have to admit they have an excuse to make it like over 2 hours and a half.
What did you think of how they incorporated all of the different characters into the movie?
putting Superman, I'm thinking of DC, sorry, putting two superhero teams into one movie, and even more than that, is a Herculean task. But did they do it well? I totally think so. But just like Dana said, I don't really like the ending. I think it's kind of a cop-out. Even though it's technically not an ending, since it's a two-parter, it's just kind of, you know how, like, the feeling you have when you wake up the next day after, like, a dog ran away, or your dog ran away or something, like a sad feeling? It kind of makes you feel like that. You just have this sense of emptiness for a little bit.
Okay. What'd you think? Lucy, what'd you think of the ending of the movie?
I thought that it was definitely, like, it totally left you hanging, and it's sad because, you know, you still have to wait for a good amount of time for the next one, hopefully, to come out, and then you're going to have to watch that all over again, so it's kind of fresh in your mind, and yeah, it was just you felt kind of empty afterwards.
Yeah. Oscar, how about you, my friend? What'd you think? Pull up close to the microphone again for me.
Well, I know that, the ending was, yeah, it was like a cliffhanger, and it was kind of sad in a way, and it's kind of, like, you know, it's, like, gonna resolve into
you think.
Something good.
Right, you think, because it just sort of cuts off a little bit. I don't 100% disagree with that. We have to take a break. We're going to update news, and then we'll come back with our kid movie critics this morning and open up the phone lines for your reviews as well, 312-981-7200, WGN. Back to our kid critics in just a couple of minutes, plus we open up our phone lines for your reviews and thoughts about Avengers Infinity War. First, let's get a quick check of WGN News sponsored by American Weathermakers. Here is Dave Schwann.
108 new Chicago police officers are on the streets this weekend. Some of them might be using one of five new patrol cars equipped with license plate reader technology aimed at stopping carjackings and recovering stolen vehicles. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Israel for talks with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It's part of Pompeo's first official trip abroad to punish Iran for its missile programs. Netanyahu calls Pompeo a true friend of Israel. A SWAT team was in place for over 2 hours this morning on the 6,000 block of West Diversey. They were responding to an incident involving a person with a gun. The scene was cleared shortly after 6:30 this morning. No further details available. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
White Sox and Royals split their doubleheader yesterday. White Sox winning the first game 8-0, losing the second 5-2. Final game of the five-game series coming up today. I'll have the pregame at 12:40. Ed and DJ, the first pitch at 1:10 here on WGN. Hector Santiago will make the start for the White Sox against Ian Kennedy for the Kansas City Royals. Speaking of having a team's number, the Cubs beat the Brewers at Wrigley Field 3-0 yesterday, the fourth time the Cubs have shut Milwaukee out in the last seven meetings. Jose Quintana went seven innings for the win. The Cubs are now 6-1 against Milwaukee this season. Same two teams this afternoon wrapping up the series on the north side. And the NBA playoffs yesterday, Boston over Milwaukee 112-96 in Game 7 to advance to take on Philadelphia. Golden State beats New Orleans 123-101 in Game 1 of their Western Conference semifinals. And in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, it was Boston and San Jose getting wins yesterday. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
And we also have Adam Hogue joining us later.
Yes, he's going to come up at about 11 o'clock, and yeah, we're going to talk about how to pronounce the fourth-round draft choice of the Chicago Bears. How to pronounce his name.
Give it a try. I've been enjoying listening to you say it all morning.
It's Iye Buniwe, spelled I-Y-I-E-G-B-U-N-I-W-E.
You've made all of that up.
Back to you in the studio.
Wait, how do you say it one more time? Say it fast.
Iye Buniwe.
Now you say it, Shawnee.
Iye Buniwe.
Oh, look at you.
Pretty good.
Iye Buniwe.
Good. Yeah, so Adam will make sure we understand how to pronounce
Iye
his name.
Iye Bony Knees?
You need to be. No, Iye Buniwe.
Bony Knee. Bony what?
Bony Knee. No, Iye Buniwe.
Booty what?
Buniwe.
What?
Yeah. You know, like a street. Buniwe.
Oh, Booney. It's on Booney Way.
Yeah, but it's on EA.
Turn left on Booney Way.
So you have to go to EA Booney Way. You got that?
Yeah, and we'll have more on that coming up later in the show.
I know you can't wait.
Listen anyway.
Exactly right.
WGN traffic. We have a couple accidents to report. We have an accident eastbound at eastbound on I-94 at 159th Street. Also an accident on Kennedy Avenue on 94 in the Highland, Indiana area. Eastbound at Kennedy Avenue, an accident reported about a half hour ago. Traffic starting to move from an earlier accident on the eastbound Reagan Tollway. There was an accident just before the Eisenhower, but that has been cleared. Traffic slowly moving. And downtown, we have the March of Dimes, March for Babies 5K walk.
Oh, nice.
Closing Columbus between Roosevelt and Monroe until about 1 o'clock. The CTA rerouting number 6 and number 14 buses. And Dean, for your information, up in the Ravenswood area,
yes,
the Ravenswood Run 5K goes until 11 o'clock this morning. Wilson Avenue between Ravenswood and Ashland is closed until 11.
Yeah, I'm going to miss it this year.
And Hermitage between Sunnyside and Leland closed until 11 o'clock this morning for the Ravenswood Run.
Won't be able to get there in time. Sorry.
Well, you know what? Finally, here is a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter the promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. And for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The WGN forecast, you're going to like it. Sunny, mild today, high in the low 60s inland, upper 40s near the lake. Fair, not as cold overnight, a low around 40. For tomorrow, mostly sunny and warmer, high in the mid to upper 70s. 43 at O'Hare now, 45 at Midway, and 41 along Chicago's lakefront. And our far-flung forecast today takes us to Geneva on the Lake, Ohio.
What?
Geneva on the Lake, Ohio. It's about 60 miles northeast of Cleveland.
How many Genevas do you think there must be?
A lot.
There's a convention, too.
Yes.
Very true.
Geneva, Switzerland.
It's popular.
Yeah. It is in Ashtabula County, Ohio.
That's my favorite county in Ohio.
Population.
What is it? Ashtabula?
Ashtabula.
Okay, you guys are just making up words today.
Igwe Bunier.
You guys are.
Ashtabula, Ohio is the county, I should say. Population is 1,288. And they have a restaurant called Eddie's Grill, by the way.
Not Ashtabula Grill?
No, not the Ashtabula Grill. Eddie's Grill.
Eddie's Grill.
Now, any idea who might have been born in Geneva on the Lake? No?
I don't know.
No,
Eddie.
Don't know?
Eddie from Eddie's Grill.
Eddie?
No, no, maybe he
Ashtabula?
May have, he may have dined at Eddie's
Ashtabula?
Grill.
Ashtabula? I used to call him Ashy when we were kids.
Ashy? You may, okay, well, you know who may have dined at Eddie's Grill, but this I know. This man was born in Geneva on the Lake. Ransom Olds.
Oh, Ransom Olds was
you
born.
You know Rance, don't you?
Good old Rancy.
You know Rance.
That's what we used to call him, Rancy.
Ransom Olds was born in Geneva on the Lake in 1864, and in 1901... he was messing around with engines and that sort of thing. And in 1901, he formed a car company called the Oldsmobile.
Get out of here. I was thinking that.
No way.
I was when you said Olds, I thought, this can't be the Oldsmobile.
Oldsmobile, yes. But we bring up Ransom, Oldsmobile, because it was on this date in 2004, the last Oldsmobile rolled off the assembly line in Lansing, Michigan. 106 years of the Oldsmobile, and was the oldest American manufacturer of cars,
how
technically speaking. So Ransom Olds from Geneva Ransom, on the Lake.
Little Ransom, Rancid?
Ransom.
It's an odd Ransom name to give your kid. Oh, look, he's so cute. Let's name him Rancid.
Rancid.
could call him Rance or Sid.
They could call him Sid. Sid Olds. Yeah. I like that. Sid Olds. Geneva on the lake. Sunny skies and 42 today, so they're having decent weather. A lake meaning Lake Erie, incidentally.
Yep.
Because it's right on the lake.
Gotcha.
You okay? Yeah. You all set there?
Yeah, I'm with you. The kids are all asleep.
But, yeah, I can see that. They're just leaning back in their chairs. I will wrap this up so we can continue. Get Chicago news.
Graham's falling asleep in the chair. How'd you like the far-flung forecast today, Graham?
Huh? What?
There was one.
Well, you just got called out by a 15-year-old.
Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour. I'm called out by everybody. I'm Dave Schwann on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
More of our kids' reviewers this morning. Their reviews and yours of Avengers Infinity War. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, 9:50. On WGN, a texter writes, Dean, these kids are great. So articulate. How old are they? Couldn't agree with you more. I think they're pretty sharp myself. So let's just reintroduce everybody. Lucy, give us the full rundown. Your name, your age.
All right. My name is Lucy Cunningham. I'm 12 years old and...
Seventh grader?
Yes, I am seventh grader.
At what school?
Taft High School.
Taft High School. Very good. Dana?
Hi, I'm Dana Corso. I'm 18 years old, and I'm a senior at Glenbard East High School.
And my friend Graham?
Well, I'm Graham Ambrose. Been here before. I'm 15. I go to New Trier High School in Winnetka, a suburb of Chicago.
Very good.
Or Northfield, actually.
Okay.
There's two campuses.
Which one do you go to?
Northfield. That's the freshman one.
You're at the Northfield. Okay, mm-hmm. Very good. And Oscar?
My name is Oscar Nierit, and I'm in fourth grade. I'm 9 years old.
Go ahead.
And I go to Waters Elementary School.
All right. Now, besides going to see Marvel movies whenever they come out, what else do you like to do?
I like to stay home and play video games.
Oh, come on. Do you ever go outside and play?
Yeah.
Yeah? Like, what do you do when you go outside and play?
I like to play baseball a lot.
Okay. All right. So you're a big baseball fan. Are you a Cubs fan or a White Sox fan?
I'm a Cubs fan.
You're a Cubs fan. Go Cubs go, right? All right. So we're talking about Infinity War, the new Avengers movie. And they've all gone to see it. I wanted to get their reviews. But even more important than the reviews of the movies. Oh, and we invite you to call us up also and give your reviews. 312-981-7200, or you can text 312-981-7200. Rick Pearson made a very good point before he went off the air today of what are your favorite movie things to eat when you go to see a movie. Dana, what are your favorite things when you go to the movie? What must you have while you're watching the movie?
I always have to have popcorn.
Okay.
I feel like it's really stereotypical, but...
Yeah, just plain?
Yeah. Plain or sometimes really buttery.
Sometimes really
buttery. Depends on the mood.
Okay. All right. Oscar's got a big smile on his face. I have a feeling you might... Do you spend most of your time eating at the movies?
Yeah, I guess so.
What do you like?
I like to eat candy at the movie.
Yeah.
Because I don't really like eating popcorn at the movies because I get tired of it after a while.
Okay, what's your favorite candy?
I like Skittles. Skittles.
Are you a Skittles man, Graham?
Sorry, I dozing off. I'm sorry. Yeah, I just like any candy as long as it's not peanut buttery. I'm not a peanut butter fan. I'm not allergic. I just don't like it. Yeah.
So what's your
jelly
favorite?
Though? That's good.
You like jelly?
It might be...
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
For sandwiches, okay.
Yeah. I might like an air... I'm a big Airheads fan all the way. Extremes, regular, the sour rainbow patches, or like the mini bites version. Yeah.
Popcorn fan?
Mm-hmm. Occasionally.
Occasionally. All right. How about you, Lucy?
Definitely. I like very buttery popcorn and Sour Patch Kids, I would say.
Sour Patch, okay. All right. What's the thing that annoys you most when you go to see a movie? And I'll tell you what mine is, and then maybe you'll think of something. When I was seeing Avengers, there was an empty seat next to me, and some guy comes and sits next to me and takes his phone out, and he's starting to text people. He's texting people while we're trying to watch the movie. It's very annoying. I didn't want to get in a fist fight with him, so I just left. I went and sat somewhere else where he didn't bother me. That's very that's a pet peeve of mine when someone takes their phone out. You don't do that, do you?
No.
Okay, good.
I went to see the latest Star Wars movie, and not next to me, but a couple rows down. There was this guy, and he was FaceTiming his friend.
Oh.
It was really loud and annoying.
Wow, FaceTiming.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
And the flash was on too, so it was just
enjoyable. That's super annoying. Yeah, that's super annoying. Mm-hmm. Oscar, what about you?
I hate the smell of the hot food they give out at the movie theaters.
Like what?
Like the nachos or something.
Stinky, isn't it? Yeah. There's nothing good about stinky smelling cheese, is there?
Mm-mm.
Uh-uh.
Well.
Crap.
Can I talk about in movies or in the movie theater?
Either one.
Okay, so in movies, I hate choppy editing and camera work. And stiff acting. And complicated plots, and basically all the pet peeves a film critic should have.
Right.
It kind of when I was thinking about choppy editing or bad camera work, I went to Captain America: Civil War. Now, before I get 1,000 people with torches and pitchforks in the comments section, let me just say I loved that movie, but the camera work, and it was directed by the same people who did Infinity War. I loved that movie, but sometimes in the action scenes, the cameraman seems like he gets motion sick easily and has a hard time. The screen's kind of jittery when it happens. And I know action scenes are supposed to be quick paced and this is a superhero movie, but sometimes it's just hard to keep up with them. But other than that, I just have a fantastic time with not just Marvel movies, even though I secretly have a bias towards them since they've been doing it for a decade. And they'll probably go for even longer than that.
And not so secret since you just said it on the radio.
Yeah. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry. I'm kind of biased. And I know that's kind of a bad thing to say when you're a film critic who's supposed to be open-minded. You gotta say, hey, this movie might be awful. Hey, this movie might be good.
But you know what's even more important when you're a movie critic? Or really any job, is that you're 100% honest. That's the biggest deal. And you are that. That's one of the things. Graham actually writes out his reviews and sends them to me. You are 100% honest in every thought that you have, and that's fantastic. Dana, what about you? I just want to go around the table real quick here of your favorite movie. Is it possible to have a favorite movie of all time?
Oh, gosh.
People ask me that all the time, and that's the hardest question that people can ask me is, what's my favorite movie? Because there are so many of them that I like. So just right off the top of your head, what's one or two that you really, really love?
One of my favorite movies probably has to be 9 to 5. Yeah.
The original with Dolly Parton and Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, really.
I was actually just in the musical. I just played Judy.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
I feel like I'm just a little, oh my gosh, I love it so much because I was just in it.
Right,
but,
okay. So you're a little biased then, Graham.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But I think my favorite Marvel movie, oh gosh, it's got to be Thor: The Dark World, I think. I think that one's my favorite.
Is that the second Thor movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. How about for you, Lucy? You have a favorite movie?
For sure. My favorite movie of all time. There's so many honorable mentions, but it would have to be just the first Avengers movie. Because I watched that when it came not right when it came out, because I was still kind of young and I couldn't see it at the theaters, but after it came out on Redbox, I watched it, and it's still my favorite movie.
Still your favorite movie. All right. Yeah. Oscar, what about you, my friend?
Oh,
when you're busy eating all that candy.
I don't really know, but I like Star Wars a lot.
You like it? Yeah? Did you like the last Star Wars movie?
Yeah.
What about the one before that?
The one.
Which one did you like better of the two latest ones?
Two latest ones? You mean Rogue One?
Not Rogue One, no. It would be
The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens, and what was the most recent one?
The Last Jedi.
Last Jedi, yeah. Right.
And I think Force Awakens is better in a way, because I don't really know. I just liked it better.
Yeah. You know why? It's a little longer. You can eat more candy. That's why. And nobody's eating stinky cheese during that one. It's against the law to eat stinky cheese during that movie. Did you know that? Right now, he just wants to leave, and he's being polite. Oscar Narrett, thank you, my friend, for coming in. Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming. And also to Lucy Cunningham, thank you very much from Taft. We appreciate it. Dana Corso, do you know what college you're going to go to?
I'm heading off to the University of Missouri.
Okay.
Next year.
Fun. What are you going to study there?
I'm going to major in nursing.
Good for you. Good for you. And my old bud, Mr. Graham Ambrose, the kid critic. Always nice to have you all here with us. We've got $25 gift certificates from Lou Malnati's for all of you.
Really?
Yeah, for coming in today.
How generous. Thank you.
How generous of you to come in on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. We're going to take a break, update the news, and continue. We've got the cast of Oklahoma in to perform for us today from the Marriott Lincolnshire in just a little while. The opening, my review of Jesus Christ Superstar, the musical that just opened officially last night at the Lyric Opera. That's the Steve Cochran Show from 6 to 10 here on WGN Radio. Shawnee, you were talking about favorite foods at the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody texted in and said, put some Junior Mints in your popcorn.
Oh, Junior Mints in the popcorn. That interesting mixture.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I used to get the popcorn, and then I'd get those drops things, those gum drop deals.
Oh, yeah.
Those were good. Jujubes I couldn't handle. Those are too rough on my
teeth. Those are cavity pullers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the
filling pullers, yeah.
The drops or the raisinettes.
Oh, those are the best.
Yeah.
I enjoy
nice raisinettes. You could put raisinettes in popcorn. That would be good.
Raisinettes would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little ketchup and...
What?
Is it bad that I like to bring a nice beef pot pie and have that? Is that too much? This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you've got a smart speaker, say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. News is next. Here's Dave Schwann.
Sunny and 47 at O'Hare. Crime and carjackings are targets being addressed this weekend. WGN's Roger Badish gives us an update.
108 new Chicago police officers will hit the streets after having graduated from the academy. Some of them might be using one of five new patrol cars equipped with license plate reader technology aimed at stopping carjackings and recovering stolen vehicles. The new technology supports the year-old Auto Theft Task Force. Roger Badish, WGN News.
A SWAT team was in place for over 2 hours this morning on the 6,000 block of West Diversey in the Belmont Central neighborhood. Police responding to an incident involving a person with a gun. The scene was cleared shortly after 6:30 this morning. No further details as yet. Newly sworn in Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has arrived in Israel. He'll be talking with British Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about 2 weeks before President Trump decides the fate of the Iran nuclear deal. Here's ABC's Jordana Miller reporting from Jerusalem.
The Iran nuclear deal and Tehran's growing military presence in Syria expected to top the agenda in talks between Secretary of State Pompeo and Netanyahu. Pompeo is a hawk on Iran and a supporter of Netanyahu's policies, which have long included calls to fix or nix the nuclear deal. Netanyahu likely to ask Pompeo for more help in stopping Iran from establishing air bases in Syria. In February, Israel attacked the T-4 airbase after it said Iran launched an explosive-laden drone into Israel's north. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
U.S. authorities say asylum seekers may have to wait in Mexico if the nation's busiest crossing in San Diego reaches capacity. 400 people, many traveling as families, have arrived in Tijuana in a month-long caravan that started at Mexico's southern border. Many plan to seek asylum at the San Diego crossing starting today. Illinois libraries will receive more than $15 million in grants from Secretary of State Jesse White, also the state librarian. Over 600 libraries will benefit. And now WGN Community Corners, brought to you by WOW Internet TV Phone. Here's Ryan Burrow.
Construction crews are wrapping up work on what will be the brand new Great Wolf Lodge in Gurnee. It's a renovation on the site of the former Key Lime Cove. The new facility will feature a hotel with more than 400 rooms, an 80,000 square foot indoor water park, 11 water slides, and 7 pools. Great Wolf Lodge's 17th resort is expected to open in July. I'm Ryan Burrow with Community Corners on WGN Radio.
WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Bears finished up the final day of the NFL draft with four selections. Linebacker Joel Eyebuniwe from Western Kentucky, that is, their fourth round pick. And GM Ryan Pace still flying high after getting linebacker Roquan Smith in the first round as well, saying he feels good about where the organization is right now.
I feel so good right now. You know, just the whole building's energized.
there's just such a positive vibe around here, you know, and it really originates from Matt. And then it's just infectious through our whole building. And it's continued with all the coaches that we've added. It's continued in the free agency. It's continued through this draft. And now it's happening right now in college free agency. It's just such an exciting time to be part of this organization.
Ryan Pace with a big smile on his face. We will have Adam Hogue joining us coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll talk more about the Bears and the NFL draft. White Sox get a split of their day-night doubleheader in Kansas City yesterday, taking game 1-8-0, losing the nightcap 5-2. Final game of the five-game series today. I'll have your pregame at 12:40. Ed and DJ, the first pitch at 1:10 here on WGN. Actually, make that 1:15 here on WGN. Hector Santiago will start for the White Sox against Ian Kennedy. White Sox also optioned Dylan Covey back to AAA. Cubs beat the Brewers at Wrigley yesterday 3-0. Jose Quintana, 7 strong innings. Cubs now 6-1 against Milwaukee this season. Teams will wrap up their series this afternoon on the north side. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic, an accident now also on the eastbound Reagan. We say also because there was an earlier accident at Naperville, eastbound on the Reagan just before you got to the Eisenhower. This new accident blocking three lanes eastbound on the Reagan Tollway approaching Winfield Road. The earlier accident has been cleared at the Eisenhower eastbound on the Reagan. Traffic starting to move there. Traffic also building on the Kennedy now. A 25-minute ride from O'Hare to downtown. A 20-minute ride from the junction into downtown. Other than that, we are looking good on our expressways and tollways. Downtown, however, we've got a couple of events going on in Grant Park. The March of Dimes, March for Babies walk is happening, a 5K walk. Columbus Drive between Roosevelt and Monroe closed until 1 o'clock this afternoon. The CTA rerouting number 6 and number 14 buses.
It seems tough to make babies walk 5K.
It's a march for the babies.
Oh,
it didn't say of the babies or with the babies.
I misunderstood.
It's the march for the babies.
I beg your pardon.
And also in the Ravenswood area until 11 o'clock.
Faster!
All right.
Faster!
This is fast. Crawl, will you?
Babies were a really good group. John Waite led them, I believe.
I'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah. They were a good group. I like the Babies.
The Babies.
How about this?
That was one of my dad's favorite hits, by the way. I'll give you something to cry about.
How about this? The Ravenswood Run. Andy has had a challenge with the name there today.
Yeah, I could see that. I can understand that.
My challenge has been to not have my tongue tied saying the Ravenswood Run.
Yeah.
5K today. Wilson between Ravenswood Avenue and Ashland closed until 11 o'clock. And a closure also because of this event. Hermitage between Sunnyside and Leland closed until 11. And on this sunny day today, Des Plaines between Roosevelt and Harrison closed until 3 o'clock for the Maxwell Street Market.
Oh, that's good.
Is that something new?
That's good to hear because I heard all the kids that we had on in the last
They're going
hour,
over there now?
They were going to go out to the parking lot and take the hubcaps off my car and then go over there and sell them.
And sell them.
Yeah. They know that I'm not going to be out there for a while, so they said they're going to ravage my car. Anything I can do to inspire young people.
Well, the show ends at 12:40 today because of the pregame. You can go over there.
They'll be long gone.
For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, sunny, noticeably warmer today, high in the low 60s inland or upper 40s near the lake. Yeah. Fair, not as cold overnight, low around 40.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing because you are starting to interrupt me again. Things are getting back to normal here.
I'm not interrupting. I'm just talking to myself.
Commenting.
Kids are out of the studio. You never know what might happen now.
Talking to myself. Get used to it. This is how I'm going
to
be.
Get used to it. I've heard this since 1981. Mostly sunny, warmer tomorrow. High in the mid to upper 70s.
Why do I like you? I'm trying to remember.
Okay. It's sunny and 47 at O'Hare, 48 at Midway now, and 42 along Chicago's lakefront. Mm-hmm. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN newsroom, ready to join this conversation whenever a story changes and whenever I hear comments from the Allstate Showcase studio.
I think you're already involved in the conversation.
on Chicago's very own 720.
You pretty much are the conversation right now.
This is 720 WGN.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. This is where I was last night. I was seeing the opening of the new production of Jesus Christ Superstar, Civic Opera House, Lyric Opera, brand new production of it there. This is from the original soundtrack, this music. But, I love this show. I got to tell you what, I love this show. I'm sure part of it is, you know, I've been familiar with these songs for all these years. You know, you can sing along with just about every one, but it's, you know, the famous, obviously, you know, famous story of the final days of the life of Jesus and his apostles in the days preceding his crucifixion, a story with which, you know, a lot of people certainly are familiar. But the show itself, Shawnee, what was it, 1973?
Earlier than that.
Was it?
71 or so, yeah.
Early 70s.
Yeah.
That Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice
We were talking about this in the sophomore year in high school. That was 71, so.
It was pretty unusual. I mean, for something to be on stage this radical. Thinking about this last night, I mean, this kind of falls in the line of Hamilton, where very specific, you know, historic material is transformed into a stage musical. Hamilton didn't invent that. I mean, it even goes before Jesus Christ Superstar, but definitely falls in that line of the story. And this production, Shawnee, you're going to enjoy this. It's set, the set, it's kind of industrial, very, very stark and industrial. But it's set up on sort of a multi-layered, multi-level, almost looks like a tic-tac-toe board, and there are things going on in each of the boxes. Of course, what's the first thing that I think of?
Hollywood Squares.
I'll take Paul Linde Block.
Take Paul Linde Block.
Right.
You're watching Jesus Christ Superstar, and you're thinking Paul
Linde. It looks like the set of Hollywood Squares. I'm not kidding. It does.
Was Charlie Weaver and Tody Fields
in there? Rosemary. What do you know? Rosemary's in the upper center box, as always. This is the...
oh, no. Now that I'm going to see this, I'm going to think of that.
Sorry. I didn't.
I'm going to be asked to leave.
I didn't design the set.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Where Judas sounds like Uncle Arthur on Bewitched. Oh, Jesus Christ. Superstar.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, this show is the production that won an Olivier Award when it came back in London. And it is acclaimed there. It's a huge cast, 48 cast members in the show. There are 37 musicians in the show. Many of them are actually out on the stage. The whole set is similar to what we saw on television with the television version that starred John Legend, where it's done sort of rock concert style because it is a rock opera. The performances are kind of staged that way. Interestingly, many of the performers are carrying handheld microphones, many of them with cords.
I've seen pictures of that.
Yeah, which is, I think they do that to make it look more like a rock concert.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, because, I mean, they certainly could use wireless technology, get away with the same thing. They decided to use corded, old-fashioned handheld microphones instead of the, you know, the tiny little microphones that you often see on the foreheads or in the hairline of the performers, so their hands are free while they're performing. I think they chose these handheld microphones, old school, so they could be heard. And that was sometimes a challenge in the show. You know, normally the acoustics at the Civic Opera House are quite great. It was often difficult to hear the performances And if you weren't familiar with the songs already, you would have a difficulty understanding what it was that the performers were saying. Some of the top performances in the show, an actress named Jo Lampert, who is Mary Magdalene, who is amazing. Ryan Shaw is a young actor who shines in the show as Judith. I'm sorry to say that the young actor who plays Jesus, Heath Saunders, was kind of low-key. It was an interesting choice that they made. I know it's not, you know, that Jesus is almost a supporting role in Jesus Christ Superstar until the very end. He played it very, very low-key. And I'm not sure that that helped the show at all. And I mentioned the production with John Legend. Comparisons to that are inevitable because both productions are kind of raw and a little bit unusual in that way, not traditional, I should say. It wasn't my favorite version of Jesus Christ Superstar, honestly, that I've seen last night. I have seen others. I liked it. I didn't love it. That said, it's still fun to hear these songs performed as well as these songs are performed last night. So you can catch it. It's at the Lyric Opera at the Civic Opera House on Wacker Drive. It'll be there until May the 20th. Well, tomorrow morning on the WGN TV Morning News, I will show you some clips of the show so you can actually see some of the things that I'm talking about here. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, meteorologist Mike Hamernick explains how the weather this week is going to be amazing. That's coming up next on WGN.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
10:25, Dean Richards. Sunday morning, WGN, time for a check of weather with meteorologist Mike Hamernick at our WGN-TV Weather Center. Gorgeous day yesterday, Mike. Could have been a couple of degrees warmer, but still so absolutely beautiful, sunny, and wonderful. I think we're going to get pretty much the same thing today. Is that right?
Yeah, add about 10 degrees to that high from yesterday. Yesterday we had 50 at O'Hare. We'll be about 60, 61, 62 at O'Hare, 65 inland, and about 49, 50 at the lakefront, which is still about 10 degrees warmer than yesterday. So we're going in the right direction, Dean. The lake wind won't be as strong today, but it will be noticeable if you're around the lakefront. So cooler by the lake, but wall-to-wall sunshine all day. There won't be a cloud in the sky all day long, so a real pretty day out there ahead of our big warm-up that kicks in tomorrow.
Yes, yes, please tell us.
Finally, turn the corner here, get the monkey off our back, and get some spring-like weather in here. We're talking a 77 tomorrow, 81 on Tuesday, 78 on Wednesday, 79 on Thursday, and around 70 Friday and Saturday of next week. First warmest stretch of weather we had around here since early October of last year. And the numbers are pretty astounding, just how miserable it's been this April, Dean. We've had only one 70-degree day. Mm. We're 2 months into meteorological spring now. Last year at this time, we had 14 70-degree-plus wow. days here in Chicago. So we are overdue, and we're going to do some making up on this week here in Chicago.
Any rain in sight for the week to come?
Yeah, it's going to turn a little stormy later on in the week. Monday and Tuesday are fine. No rain those days. But Wednesday and Thursday, there'll be some storms around. And we're talking spring-like storms, something you won't probably enjoy, Dean. Some humidity actually makes it up here in Chicago. It's we're going to jump from early spring to almost summer.
Isn't that funny that we're going from really cold weather to I don't know if I can shift my complaining that much. From one form of complaining to another that quickly.
Yeah, they're going to come out, the woodwork. This is going to feel quite muggy around, especially since we haven't had anything even resembling humidity so far this spring.
Right.
We're talking dew points in the mid-60s. Now, that isn't really excessive, but you'll notice it because we've had a lot of dry weather recently. So that is going to fuel some showers and thunderstorms on Wednesday and Thursday, but not a washout. By any stretch of the imagination. But when the rain does come, it could come down quite heavily. Some pretty heavy showers showers and thunderstorms, maybe even a strong or severe storm on Thursday. So along with the spring-like warmth comes spring-like storms, usually at this time of the year, and we'll get that on Wednesday and Thursday. But Monday and Tuesday look dry. A lot of sunshine both days, it looks like, here in Chicago. So we don't have to worry about any rain for the first 2 days of this warm-up.
Yeah, it's good, though, right? I mean, as things begin to defrost, the ground,
right,
to get some saturation into it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, this rain is going to help really green things up. You get some lightning around, too. That'll help green things up and the warm temperatures. So I think we're going to see an explosion of green and buds across Chicago this week, especially with the warm nights coming up. We have a couple nights where we're not going to drop below 60, 65 degrees. And, that's warmer than most of our spring days have been. We've only had a handful of days that have been warmer than that for our high temperatures. So, yeah, we're turning a corner and turning it in a hurry. In fact, we had a record low this morning here in Chicago, Dina, 31. And in less than 36 hours, we're going to see the warmest temperature of the spring by tomorrow afternoon. So
what a
big turnaround.
Yeah, what a turnaround indeed.
It's about time, too.
It is. Go ahead.
And the bonus to this, too, is no lake cooling tomorrow and Tuesday. So even downtown and along the lakefront, day after day after day, cooler by the lake, but not Monday and Tuesday. Even down at the beach, it's going to be pretty warm in the 70s, both Monday and Tuesday. So an extra bonus there for lakefront and shoreline people.
Everyone gets to enjoy
the
next couple of days. It's meteorologist Mike Hamernick with the latest. Thank you, sir.
All right, Gene, you bet.
Have a great day. We'll check weather. And then our Week in Theater segment today featuring some of the performers from Oklahoma at the Marriott in Lincolnshire. Latest news sponsored by Mueller Volkswagen. Here's Dave Schwann.
Chicago police have released surveillance video of a man who they say stabbed another person in the Loop on Friday after asking him for a cigarette. This happening near the 100 block of West Van Buren. The victim was stabbed in the stomach, also cut on his neck, but is now in stable condition in the hospital. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is now visiting Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel. It's part of Pompeo's first official trip abroad. Netanyahu calling Pompeo a true friend of Israel. 108 new police officers are on the streets in Chicago this week. Some of them may be using one of five new patrol cars equipped with license plate reader technology. The goal is to stop carjackings and recover stolen vehicles. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Well, the White Sox and the Royals split a pair of games yesterday at Kauffman Stadium. The White Sox winning the opener 8-0, losing the nightcap 5-2. Tim Anderson did homer early in that one for the White Sox. Today, the final game of the five-game series. Pregame with me at 12:40. Ed and DJ, the first pitch at 1:15 here on WGN. Hector Santiago will make the start for the White Sox. It'll be his first start of the season against Ian Kennedy. Game 2 starter for yesterday, Dylan Covey, was optioned back to AAA after the game. Cubs over the Brewers at Wrigley yesterday, 3-0. The same two teams battle it this afternoon. Tyler Chatwood will go to the mound here for the Cubs. Cubs 6-1 against Milwaukee so far this season. Bears finished up the final day of the NFL draft. They made four selections, among them fourth-round pick linebacker Joel Iyebunuwe from Western Kentucky. Our Adam Hoge is going to join us at 11 to break down the complete draft for the Bears. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, Boston over Tampa Bay yesterday 6-2. Sharks over the Golden Knights 4-3 in double overtime, tying that series at 1. NBA playoffs, a game 7, Boston ousts Milwaukee 112-96, and Golden State over New Orleans 123-101. That was game 1 of the Western Conference semifinals. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic, the accidents on the Reagan Tollway eastbound have now been cleared. The one approaching the Eisenhower cleared, also the one approaching Winfield Road. These are both on the Reagan Tollway eastbound, have been cleared. Traffic starting to move there. However, on the Kennedy inbound, we have an accident at the off-ramp to Addison. The ramp is closed as a result of that accident. Travel times on the Kennedy inbound, 31 minutes now from O'Hare to downtown. Downtown out to O'Hare is 25 minutes. We look good on our expressways and tollways otherwise. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago.
We just got an update from the kids who were on the show earlier this morning.
Yes.
They've actually stolen the tires off my car. my car's on
not just the hubcaps,
no,
but the tires.
No, the car's on milk crates right now.
That's a good look.
Is the hood open by any chance?
Not yet. But they're helping themselves out there.
Oh, and taking pictures.
Oh, those kids are great.
Oh, these kids today.
Get off my lawn.
This traffic report is also sponsored by Spot Hero. Oh, finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter the promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. The forecast from the WGN Weather Center. Sunny today, high in the low 60s inland, the upper 40s near the lake. Fair tonight, a low around 40. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, warmer, high in the mid to upper 70s. We have 47 now at O'Hare, 48 at Midway, and 42 along the lake. Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour. I'm Dave Schwann on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We're apparently learning that the kids that we had on the show earlier today cleaned us out of headphones, paper clips, styrofoam cups,
pens.
We're going to have to rethink having these kids on the show again. Not something that we thought might happen.
Those were souvenirs. Because there will be show and tell tomorrow at school.
We're moving anyway. Who cares? Just less stuff to move to the new building.
We have to leave something behind for the mattress store.
Time for the weekend theater. What's going on stage in Chicago? Earlier I was talking about the opening of Jesus Christ Superstar at the Lyric Opera. And another of one of the greatest musicals of all time is currently running in the Chicago area. We've got a lot of amazing shows playing right now. But out at the Marriott Theater in Lincolnshire is Oklahoma, one of the greatest of all time. And its two stars join us in studio right now to perform and also to talk about the show. Jenny Sophia is Laurie in the show. Welcome. Nice to have you here with us.
Thank you.
And also playing the role of Curly, it's Brandon Springman. Welcome. Nice to have you as well. Is it? I always ask this question when we have performers here doing these classic shows. It's got to be kind of special to say these words and to sing these amazing songs, right?
Absolutely. My favorite since I was a little kid.
Oklahoma has
been? Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I grew up watching those movies, the classics on TV.
Yeah.
Dreaming about the day I get to do it.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you really? You really thought you wanted to be in the show?
Yep. I really did.
Yeah. Brandon, how about for you? Same?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the first professional shows I ever did was Oklahoma. And
Curly?
No, not as Curly, but I've understudied it a couple times.
You've stepped up in the world.
Yeah. And it's, as far as leading men roles go, it's one of the most iconic. And, you know, the music is, it's unreal. It's so beautiful, and it's a dream. Yeah.
Yeah, what's it like to perform it at the Marriott Lincolnshire? I always wonder for performers if it's more difficult or easier to do shows in the round like that.
I prefer it because I love the intimacy and the connection with the audience and being able just to move wherever you want to move. It's really natural and easy and fun. You have to adjust to it, you know, from being when you're on a regular stage going into an arena.
Is it more difficult to prepare because you have audience, you know?
You know, the rehearsal space, we usually have people like that. The cast is all around the stage the whole time in the rehearsal space, so we're sort of used to that. But it's also, it's so immersive when you get in there that it, and the way they've set the stage up, there are these beautiful projections all around. So it really brings, you just feel like you're immersed in the world. So the audience, to me, sort of just feels like they sort of like disappear behind these beautiful projections, and you just sort of go for the ride, and I love it.
Sort of becomes organic a little bit, everything just kind of phases to the next. How do you take a show that has been around for such a long time with songs that are so familiar? I have to think that it's a little bit annoying that people like me probably are singing along with you and hopefully not getting in your ear, or I hope you can't see or hear us out into the audience. I'm guessing by the expressions on your face that you very well can. Yep. Is what I'm thinking. But I mean, how do you keep it fresh, I guess, is my question. And, you know, kind of put your own spin, your own interpretation mm-hmm. on something that's so familiar.
Well, one of the things I found special about this process for me is the strong female perspective that Erin gave this show, and digging into her backstory, her beginnings as an orphan and being raised by a single female, and the strength and the fortitude that he gave all the women characters here, which is really great for this time and has given me a kind of a fresh perspective to the words, to the story, to her desire to find a partner and what that means in today's society. And so it's just been beautiful to embrace the thought of a strong female perspective throughout the story.
It's one of the things that I've always liked about this show. It's the strong female character mm-hmm. that's not subservient, that's not just waiting to take care of her man.
Right.
This is somebody who, you know, has her own head and her own brain and her own thoughts and wishes and dreams.
Yes. Yeah. And Erin built such a rich dream life for Lori that it just, and then he incorporated that into the beautiful ballet with Alex's gorgeous dancing to continue to further the plot. It's new, it's brand new. They really dug into her mind and featured a beautiful ballet to represent what's going on inside of her.
Yeah. Brandon, how do you keep this fresh for yourself?
Well, you know, a lot along the lines of what Jenny just said, this particular production, I think Erin and Alex and Ryan, they've cultivated so much heart out of the characters and the community that would have to exist in, you know, a territory that hasn't become a state yet, where you have to work together to work for what you have, and you build what you have, and you take care of each other. And just throughout the rehearsal process, watching how everybody came into this world and just developing relationships with everybody, and, you know, playing opposite of Jenny, it's so easy and fun to just step on stage and, you know.
I get to peel apples. I get to do
yeah.
real feed yeah. is on stage, peeling potatoes. Like, she's a hardworking farm girl, mm-hmm. and he really brought that into the space, which is really fun.
Yeah,
yeah.
And by the way, that's the first time those words have ever been uttered on this segment. I get to peel apples and yeah. potatoes. No one has ever said that. It's their prime goal for, you know, being part of a show.
Yeah,
always a first here. It's 10:46 when we come back. They'll both perform for us. Jenny and Brandon will both perform a couple of the classic songs from Oklahoma. It's at the Marriott Lincolnshire. And by the way, has just been extended through June the 10th. I'll tell you how you can get tickets coming up in a few minutes.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Maybe one of the most familiar songs in musical theater history, The Great Oklahoma, from the production of the same name, which is out at the Marriott Lincolnshire right now. It's playing through June the 10th in studio with us right now. The man who sings this song on stage, Brandon Springman. How do you feel, Brandon, when you hear this song, when you hear, you know, other ne'er-do-well actors like this, you know, come along? You know, like the guy who originated it, say, for example. What's your feeling when you hear this song?
It's, I mean, Gordon McRae, I mean, he's one of the most iconic male voices in Rodgers and Hammerstein musical theater, period, for me. So it's so thrilling to, you know, to hear it. I mean, your heart starts to, like, pound and, you know, you're ready to jump up and down. Yeah.
It's, Brandon Springman plays Curly, and for Jenny Sophia is Laurie. Same thing for you and the cast? I mean, how do you not stand a little taller and...
You do.
Swagger a little
yes,
bit
when you, totally
when you hear that song,
yeah.
right?
it produces the most incredible feelings of romance and excitement and connection to land and to community. And they were brilliant writers that knew how to produce real visceral responses.
Yeah, I would have liked nothing better than a live performance of this in the studio, but we couldn't fit 150 people here in our studio.
Thrilling. It's exciting.
It's a full cast number that really you have to see at the Marriott Lincolnshire to properly appreciate. Do you have favorite songs? Is it possible to have favorite songs from the show?
Yeah, people will say we're in love, and
which we're going to hear in a second.
Yes, and I love Many a New Day. Working on that, Out of My Dreams is the most beautiful for a soprano, and it's so rich in the color and the dream state and the combination with the soprano voice. It's just been thrilling to work on, so they're my favorites that I've been working on forever.
Yeah, how about for you, Brandon?
What a Beautiful Morning is the melody is
are you saying that just because it's the perfect lead into the song?
No, honestly,
which would be fine with me, by the way.
it really is just one of the most freeing songs to sing. I mean, they created the song. They wrote the song. Like, the original play, Green Grove the Lilacs, has this beautiful setup before the first scene to describe the layout of the land. And that's, Rodgers and Hammerstein took that and created the song. So it's this expansive melody, and the orchestrations are so beautiful. Just to even try and encapsulate that sort of imagery into your character is a true challenge, and it's fun to do every day.
Yeah, not to mention that it goes perfectly with how it is outside this morning.
Yeah.
What a beautiful morning indeed. This is Brandon Springman. It's Curly from Oklahoma. Take it away.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. The corn is as high as a elephant's eye, and it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. All the cattle are standing like statues. All the cattle are standing like statues. They don't turn their heads as they see me ride by. But a little brown maverick is winking her eye. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. All the sounds of the earth are like music. All the sounds of the earth are like music. The breeze is so busy, it don't miss a tree. And an old weeping willer is laughing at me. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling, everything's going my way. Oh, what a beautiful day.
So beautiful, so nice.
Thank you.
And look at this out here. Look outside of our showcase studio window. Everybody enjoying. Let's hear it for them again. Let's hear it for them again. Yeah, that was a great job. Really nice. And I can see how it affects you when you actually sing the song.
Yeah, it's impossible to not be taken, like Jenny said, into the romance of just everything, of the whole piece, you know, of the romance surrounding like being a cowboy and, you know, just living a life off the land. And yeah.
Jenny, what have you got for us? We're gonna
do a duet. People will say we're in love.
Yeah,
yeah.
One of the other classic and signature songs from the show. It's Jenny Sophia and Brandon Springdon from the Marriott Lincolnshire's Oklahoma.
Why do they think up stories that link my name with yours?
Why do the neighbors gossip all day behind their doors?
I know a way to prove what they say is quite untrue. Here is the gist, a practical list of don'ts for you. Don't throw bouquets at me. Don't please my folk too much.
Ann Eller.
Don't laugh at my jokes too much. People will say we're in love.
Who laughs at your jokes?
Don't sigh and gaze at me. Your sighs are so like mine. Your eyes mustn't glow like mine.
Like what?
Give me my rose and my glove. Sweetheart, they're suspecting things. People will say we're in love.
Some people claim that you are to blame as much as I. Why do you take the trouble to bake my favorite pie? Granting your wish, I carved our initials on that tree. Just keep a slice of all the advice you give so free. Don't praise my charm too much. Don't look so vain with me. Don't stand in the rain with me. People will say we're in love. Don't take my arm too much. Don't keep your hand in mine. Your hand feels so grand in mine. People will say we're in love. All night with me, till the stars fade from above. They'll see it's all right with me. People will say we're in love.
Absolutely fantastic. Wow, wow, wow. And they've got two shows to do today as well. So you're really happy to do a little extra one here for us this morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could tell by looking at your faces how much you enjoy doing these roles.
Yeah. And particularly with each other. I mean, Jenny and I have known each other for over 10 years.
Really?
So it's
past productions?
We met in Summerstock, and I was like, someday I'm going to play opposite of you. And the day has come.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
And he's an ornery stinker, so it's perfect to play with. Yeah.
In real life?
In real life, yes.
Very nice to meet an ornery stinker.
Yes, he
first,
is.
Another first on the show here today. Very nice. Marriott Lincolnshire's number is 847-634-0200. You can get tickets through Ticketmaster or by going to marriotttheater.com. Huge thanks, Jenny Sophia, Laurie. Brandon Springman, ornery what? What
was stinker. It?
Ornery stinker.
Yep.
Ornery, Brandon Springman / Curly / Ornery Stinker.
It's going on my resume.
With, yeah. I want to see that in the next, you know, where you thank
bio,
everybody
yeah.
in your bio. Guys, thank you for coming in today. Really appreciate
you.
It. Great job.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to check news next on WGN. With the latest, here's Dave Schwann.
Sunny and 51 at O'Hare. As of this weekend, 108 new Chicago police officers are on the job. Every district will now have additional officers, the largest increase in the 2nd and 4th districts. As WGN-TV's Randy Bellosomo reports, new technology is also in place to curtail auto theft and carjackings.
The systems, which have cost about $25,000 a vehicle, scan plates so officers have real-time data that spots cars that have been reported as stolen or that are flagged in law enforcement systems. The systems are supposed to make response times quicker and lead to more accuracy.
The new officers graduated from Chicago's Police Academy earlier this month. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is being described by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as a true friend of Israel. Pompeo is in Israel for talks with Netanyahu. It's part of his first official trip abroad to punish Iran for its missile program. During Friday's historic meeting with South Korea's president, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un reconfirmed that the use of military force by the North will never take place. Here's ABC's Jo-hee Cho with more from Seoul.
North Korea says it is shutting down its nuclear test site sometime in May and inviting specialists and journalists from Seoul and Washington to witness it. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un also told South Korea's President Moon Jae-in that once the U.S. talks to them, Washington will know that he is not a kind of person who shoots nuclear bombs and he does not want to repeat the hurtful history of a war on the Korean Peninsula. Jo-hee Cho, ABC News, Seoul, South Korea.
A SWAT team was in place for over 2 hours this morning on the 6,000 block of West Diversey in the Belmont Central neighborhood. They were responding to an incident involving a person with a gun. The scene was cleared about 6:30 this morning. No details as to what happened. And the FBI is working with Hammond Police to investigate the holdup of a Brinks armored truck outside a bank by two men wearing masks. A security officer in the truck told police three bags of cash and his gun were taken in the parking lot of the Chase Bank branch in Hammond. Over 600 libraries in Illinois will be splitting more than $15 million in grants. This money coming from Secretary of State and State Librarian Jesse White.
Placebo in a clinical study. Use as directed.
WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Well, Dave, the NFL draft finally over after 3 days of selections in Dallas. The Bears loading up on defense, and we got our Bears guy with us right now, Adam Hoge, joining us. And Hoagie, Ryan Pace says he thinks it was a great draft, but then again, he gets paid to say that and to think that way. I just wanted to curious and get your thoughts on how they did.
First and foremost, it starts with Roquan Smith in the first round. To get a guy of that talent, somebody who I think is going to be a really good linebacker for a really long time, a quarterback of that Bears defense, which I think they've really missed since Brian Urlacher retired. I think that's a win. And then, you know, from that point on, if you can solidify your offensive line with James Daniel from Iowa and Anthony Miller, the wide receiver, add him to the Matt Nagy's offense, and a lot of people love that pick. I have to think that, you know, you create these things a couple days after it happens, but and who really knows, but I do like the direction they went in this weekend.
Well, by far, I think the favorite pick of everybody happens to be the fourth round draft choice. I'm going to let you pronounce his name because I've been struggling with it a little bit here today.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you've been practicing it for a couple of days now.
Yeah, let's see. Let's spin the wheel of pronunciations and see what we get now.
Yeah, I think I got it, though, guys. Joel Iwe-Uniwe.
Nice.
The first name is Joel.
Joel.
Oh, Joel.
Joel. That, Joel. Even the first name's tricky. Yeah.
Joel.
Correct.
Like Superman's father. Oh, that's Jor-El.
That's Jor-El, yeah.
Sorry.
That's close. I mean, that's the concept.
I've been watching too many movies. Joel. Now say the last name again.
Iwe-Uniwe.
Iwe-Uniwe. Okay. All right.
I was trying to say too, you know, like Boniwe might be like at the street and EA is the address. So Iwe-Uniwe.
The whole thing sounds like pig Latin to me.
Yeah. I'm not sure how you
the good news, they call him Iggy. So we can
perfect.
Just
perfect. Thank you.
That might be how I pronounce him too from here on.
Yeah, thank you. Where is he from here?
I haven't gone that deep in where he's originally from, but I think so. I mean, he played at Western Kentucky. That's what we know from his college days, at least.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and not a bad addition too. I mean, especially in the fourth round. And Hoagie, I mean, that's kind of where drafts are won and lost, aren't they? Later in the rounds.
Well, I think that's where you kind of, it's the difference between the deep rosters and then the rosters like the Bears in the last couple of years, where they get a couple of injuries and all of a sudden they have no depth. So I think I really believe that you build your superstars in the early rounds, but you build roster depth, which is very important in the later rounds.
All right, Hoag, thanks for much. I'll see you again around here one of these days for White Sox post game.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Adam. By the way, Joel.
Yeah.
Iwe Buniwe.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah. You're doing well.
Born in Bowling Green, Kentucky. the traditional Bowling Green, Kentucky pronunciation.
Perfect. Yeah. That's
right.
Why,
yeah.
That's why I have to say it with a little Southern twang.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. It's Joel Iwe Buniwe, y'all.
Y'all.
I think is how you would
exactly
say that in
right.
Kentucky.
All exactly right. Right.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah.
Thanks, Hoagie.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Real quick.
Hoagie. Yeah. Thanks, Hoagie.
Hey, it's the nickname game, you know?
Okay.
White Sox and Royals coming up. 12:40 my pregame, 1:15 first pitch. And
what's your nickname? What's your sports guy nickname?
It's just usually Maze.
Maze.
Yeah.
The Maze.
Pretty plain, but that's okay.
Maze, the Hoagie.
Yeah, I answer to it. Answer to a lot of things. You'd be surprised.
A lot of the sportscasters, I don't know why, just call me idiot.
No, I do not do that.
No, you may not to my face.
I have respect.
But
I try to teach. That's why I can't get frustrated with a student, you know. What kind of teacher would I be?
I think we've learned a lot about Mr. E.A. Buniwe's.
E.A. Buniwe.
Yeah.
It's E.U. Buniwe or the highway.
Go ahead and say it, Chwani.
E.A. Buniwe.
Nice work.
Very Thank good. You.
He looks fierce, by the way.
He is fierce.
So we should be nice. We should not be doing this.
I looked up, you know, to see if I could get a little background on him. Oh, my gosh. Guy looks fierce.
See?
It's not that big either. 6'1", 229. That's not huge by football standards, right?
Yeah, for outside linebackers in a 3-4, it's a little bit more a speed game to try to get to the quarterback. You know, the inside linebackers like Roquan Smith are a little bigger, generally speaking.
Okay.
So, all right.
I've learned.
I'm glad.
It's been educational for me today.
I'm glad, because you know you can learn something new every day.
That's right. That's what this show is about.
Very true. I'll sign off now. I'm Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
The Maze. He's the Maze.
WGN traffic on the Kennedy. Traffic building considerably now. 35 minutes from O'Hare to downtown. Out to O'Hare from downtown, a 38-minute trip. And we have an accident still causing trouble on the Kennedy on the off-ramp to Addison. Inbound on the Kennedy, the off-ramp to Addison, an accident there. We also have an accident in the two left lanes of the outbound Ryan just before 31st Street. So that's giving us some delays. Downtown to 95th, a 21-minute drive. You can expect delays up to 10 minutes because of that accident. Other than that, we look good on our expressways and tollways on this Sunday. And for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center: a sunny day, high in the low 60s, around 50 near the lake. Fair, not as cold tonight, a low around 40. Mostly sunny, a little warmer tomorrow, highs in the mid to upper 70s. And for Tuesday, I just like saying this. Mostly sunny, and we could see a high around 80. Sunny now and 51 at O'Hare.
Sounded like you said 80.
I did. I said 80, 80. First time since last year.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay. You yell at me.
51 at O'Hare. I'm just being enthusiastic here.
Wow,
I wasn't
a lot
yelling.
Of anger there.
I wasn't yelling. I was just trying to be enthusiastic.
Bite my
about
head
it.
Off. Just asking.
50 degrees at Midway, 44 at the lakefront.
You don't have to go into your WFMT voice either.
I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The man of many voices.
If you could do the news like that from now on.
Yeah, I'd still be doing the 8 o'clock news.
That would be so boring if you did. I'm just saying. Sunday morning, a little WNUA flashback there for a second. Shawnee, for a minute, I thought I was jazzing up your morning.
Oh, I was online looking at various jazz clubs around the country see who was playing.
Yeah.
Your friend and mine, Kenny G.
Where is he?
He is out at the Blue Note in Napa Valley.
Oh, good. As long as it's not near, anywhere near me.
Love that reaction. Oh, good.
Yeah, Napa's beautiful. I can't think of a better place to sit and drink copious amounts of wine. And
maybe from Napa to Naperville.
Coming up, my one-on-one A-list interviews with the cast of Avengers. Oh, by the way, it did go on to break records as they had expected. The box office numbers for the weekend are in. They estimate the totals for Sunday. But they are expecting that Avengers Infinity War will wind up taking in $250 million for the weekend. $250 million. And that exceeds Star Wars The Force Awakens, $247 million 3 years ago. That makes it the biggest opening weekend ever for a motion picture. How about that? How about that? So that's something that I'm sure in a few weeks we're going to be looking at the numbers exceeding even further and breaking Black Panther's records and going on to I'm going to go out and say I think it's going to wind up being the biggest grossing picture of all time. It's going to beat Avatar. It's going to beat Titanic. It's going to beat Black Panther. I think those are the top three right now. That it's going to be enormous because the people I know people that have seen it like five times already. People who are into it and are going to see it. I plan on seeing it a second time and actually paying. When's the last time you heard a movie critic say that? Never. Actually paying money to go see it. That's how much I enjoyed it. So we'll get to our conversations with the stars of the movie coming up after 11:30 this morning. Also, we've got I guess you might call him, a superhero of the culinary world as we sneak up on Cinco de Mayo, visit with our pal Rick Bayless, one of the most prolific chefs in America, Mexican food or otherwise, as he demonstrates at his restaurants, Topolobampo and Frontera Grill. He'll join us coming up a little bit later on our slightly abbreviated show for today as we get ready for White Sox baseball pregame with Andy. That's coming up at 12:40 this morning. Tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News, I will not only be reviewing Jesus Christ Superstar, the new production that's just opened at the Lyric Opera House, but I will also show you some video of it so you can actually see for yourself this adventurous new production that I think shines in many ways. I had a couple of little problems with it, but overall, enjoyed the experience. I'll tell you a lot more in my full review tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News. The number one TV Morning News that starts at 4 a.m. and goes all the way until 10. We're looking forward to bringing you that. All last week, pretty much, we brought you my one-on-one conversations with the cast of Avengers Infinity Wars. We talked with the directors. We talked with the stars of the movie. We sat down with them one-on-one when I was in L.A. And I want to play one of the interviews for you right now with Chris Pratt and Zoe Saldana, who you know from the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. They are part of they're a pretty integral part, actually, of Avengers Infinity War. And one of the things that we talked with Zoe and Chris about were the tradition of making each movie an event and how this has been going on, the magic of these Marvel movies now over the past 10 years.
I've seen some of it.
Yeah,
I have seen some of it. I've seen some of the stuff that that the Guardians have done when I was filming last time. I got taken aside and showed a little bit of stuff.
All right.
Maybe I saw a couple of things when I did the ADR, but no. Yeah. The Russo brothers were really good. I'm like, when are we going to see it? Oh, yeah, we're going to work on that.
That's a premiere.
You're like, they're so not going to
Yeah, they're not.
It's
the way to get you to the premiere, yeah. Isn't it interesting how these kinds of movies really have taken over movies, period? and breaking every record, breaking Avatar's record, amazingly, right?
It's really over the past 10 years, in no small part due to films that came from Marvel, we've become a society that has movie events. And I think it probably has something to do with social media. It has something to do with our access to information, to stories. Like, you don't want to be the person who didn't see it opening weekend. You know, it becomes an event, and the summer becomes a series of event films and these tentpole films. And in many ways, they've and will continue to dominate the box office, because you can't stream it at home when it opens up. You can't watch it on your iPhone. You have to get in your car, drive to the movie theaters, grab popcorn, sit down, have a shared experience.
Exactly.
And one of the reasons, I think, this is a sleeper reason why people love going to movies like this, because you turn your phone off. It's 2 hours where you're not staring at your phone.
Right.
How nice. And everybody, you have hundreds of people gathered together for one shared experience where they're
complete,
not
total escape. So
interrupting it with
Did I read something where you said, like, elitists look down on movies like this?
They do, and you know, we've certainly gone to those award shows where there are comments that are thrown back and forth by, you know, amazing and well-respected, you know, actors and, you know, producers or directors who believe that substance just has one dimensional, has a definition that's very one dimensional.
Yeah.
And I think that now that I'm a mother, and I'm a mother of sons, and my twins are 3 years old, I can appreciate the importance of genre in films that appeal to a younger audience, but actually appeal not just to entertain them and get them to ask their parents to buy something, but touch their core, touch their heart, make them
provoke
curious,
their thinking a little bit,
cultivate aspiration, and Marvel has dominated in this genre because they've allowed the comic book film sort of, you know, theme to evolve and adapt to current times,
right.
And that's what makes them so relevant and keeps them at the top of the game.
Yeah, top of their game, and also top of their game to the tune of $250 million just in their opening weekend. That's going to be the final total when all's said and done for the movie. Coming up in the next half hour, talking with more of the stars of Avengers Infinity War, including the directors Anthony and Joe Russo. That's all coming up for you in a couple of minutes. Got a quick news update of what's going on this morning with the latest. Here's Dave Schwann, sponsored by Rogers Roofing.
Dean, one person is dead after being hit by a Blue Line train at the Addison stop this morning. Happened around 9 o'clock in the 3600 block of West Addison. Two other people are hospitalized due to trauma after witnessing the accident. Major delays on the Blue Line, as you might expect. Please consider using number 56 Milwaukee buses for alternate service through this area. The CTA says they are working to resume service as quickly as possible. Pope Francis is hailing what he calls the courageous commitment undertaken by leaders of North and South Korea. He told the faithful at St. Peter's Square today he praises the leaders' aim to achieve a path of sincere dialogue for a Korean peninsula free of nuclear weapons. The FBI and Hammond police are investigating the holdup of a Brinks armored truck outside the Chase Bank branch on Calumet Avenue on Friday. The security officer in the truck told police three bags of cash and his gun were taken in the parking lot. Sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
There were some notes this morning about the White House Correspondents' Dinner that was last night.
Yes. Yes.
I saw a couple of clips of it. Michelle Wolf
was the invited speaker.
She was the comedian who was like the host of it, right?
Right. Right. That's correct.
And I guess I guess many of the clips that we might normally play highlights the next morning are pretty strong, shall we say?
Yeah, the ones I heard were rather strong. Yes. And as we know, the president was out in Michigan rather than attending the correspondence.
Washington, Michigan.
Yes.
Little town called Washington
Michigan. Michigan, right.
But Sarah Huckabee Sanders was in the room.
That's right.
And I guess she gave it to her pretty good. from what I hear. I've only heard a few clips of it. But I found this interesting that reporters, you know, from all sides of the political spectrum thought that Michelle Wolf was, here's one. One quote from Kyle Cheney from Politico said that she was unnecessarily cruel.
Unnecessarily cruel?
That's what this says.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
New York Times White House correspondent Peter Baker said, "I don't think we advance the cause of journalism tonight."
Wow. Yeah, I've seen some comments.
I was wondering why you weren't playing any of the clips from it.
I've seen some comments in that regard, and then heard some things from Michelle Wolf too. So, yeah, we can.
I guess it was pretty well. If you find anything, I'd be curious. But sounds like it was pretty R-rated. The whole thing was pretty R-rated.
We'll see what we can play. This being a family show,
right? If we're nothing else, we're a family show.
As you demonstrated so well this morning, I mean, our first guests, who were they?
Were the kids.
Were the young children.
Kids, they love their Uncle Dean, that's why. That's why I'm known as the Art Linkletter of the new millennium. Kids love their Uncle Dean.
Art Linkletter.
Man, they stole the tires off my car when they left. But
this house party will continue in a moment. Sports, traffic, and weather.
In the house party.
WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Seems like the White Sox have been in Kansas City for a week. Actually, it's not that far off. The five-game series finishing up today against the Royals. I'll have your pregame this afternoon at 12:40. Ed and DJ, the first pitch at 1:15 here on WGN. Hector Santiago will start for the White Sox against Ian Kennedy. So far, the Sox have taken three out of the four games. Dylan Covey optioned to AAA after yesterday's doubleheader. Cubs will try to continue their ownership of the Brewers today in the final game of their series at Wrigley Field. Tyler Chatwood for the Cubs against Zach Davies for the Brewers. Cubs have shut out Milwaukee four times this month and are now 6-1 in the seven meetings between the teams in 2018. NBA playoffs coming up at noon. It's the Cavaliers hosting the Pacers in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference first round series. Later in the Western Conference, it's Houston hosting Utah in Game 1 of their semifinal. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs this afternoon. It's Game 2 of the Eastern Conference where Washington hosts Pittsburgh. The Penguins lead 1-0. In the West, Nashville facing Winnipeg. The Jets have a 1-0 series lead. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and now Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic, as we mentioned at the beginning of the newscast, the Blue Line is experiencing some delays today. This after a fatal hit at the Addison stop. Trains in both directions operating on the same track between Logan Square, Belmont, and Irving Park stations. And number 56 Milwaukee buses should be considered for alternate service through the affected area. Shuttle buses available between California and Jefferson Park. On to the Kennedy now. It's a 35-minute trip from O'Hare out to downtown, 45 minutes downtown to O'Hare. The Eisenhower, a slowing up Wolf Road to downtown, a little over 20 minutes now. And watch for an accident on the off-ramp to Addison from the inbound Kennedy. The ramp closed because of an accident there.
Sounds like everybody's outside again this
week. It's outside today, and that's because of the weather, yes, indeed. We had a number of accidents not only in the city but in the suburbs earlier this morning too, so I thought we'd be busy reporting that, and we have been. So,
well, thank goodness you're here to keep us up to date.
You're quite welcome.
I don't know what we would do without you.
Thank you. You just made my day. We should report on one more item here, the run and the babies, March of Dime, babies walk, the 5K.
I don't know why they're making babies walk 5K. That doesn't seem right to me.
Columbus Drive between Roosevelt and Monroe.
So the March of Dimes walk?
The March of Dimes, March for babies.
It's a very...
Not the March of the babies. This is the March for the babies.
See these little babies out there with numbers walk. Numbers pinned to
that
their diapers.
That would be adorable.
Not for 5K.
Not for 5K, but I'm sure there's plenty of babies out
funny
there.
Funny for, you know, like 25 feet or something.
Things should wrap up around 1 o'clock this afternoon. The CTA is rerouting number 6 and number 14 buses. And for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And you know what else, Dean?
What's that?
This traffic report is sponsored by Spot Hero.
Oh, I love them.
Finally. Here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero. Park smarter.
I should have done this last night. I went to the Lyric Opera last night to see Jesus Christ Superstar.
You should have used Spot Hero.
I'm driving around like crazy because I'm a cheapskate trying to find a parking space. Couldn't find anything. I should have clicked on Stop Hero.
No, Spot Hero.
That's what I meant.
I think you reversed a couple of the letters there.
Excuse me.
S-P-O-T.
No wonder I couldn't find it.
You kept looking for Stop Hero.
I got the wrong website.
The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. A sunny afternoon, high in the low 60s inland, around 50 near the lake. Fair tonight, not as cold, low around 40.
While you're doing the weather, wait a second. Tom, go ahead and start this music, because this music is perfect. This music is perfect for this. This is the music from when we had the performer from Oklahoma on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know why? Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Oh, we were right on there.
We were good.
Right in time, on pitch, together. Mostly sunny, warmer tomorrow. High in the mid to upper 70s.
And Tuesday, the cattle are standing like statues. The cattle are standing like statues. To the sky. I lost it.
Here's the chorus.
What a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. Okay, for the four people left listening to the show.
Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour. Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour.
Ding! It's the spittoon.
51 degrees at O'Hare and Midway. And the lakefront comes in with 44 degrees.
All the cattle are standing like statues.
No, they're not anymore.
I'll bet none of these theater people are going to leave their music with us anymore.
They may not want to come again. I'm Dave Schwann.
Wait till you hear Schwann and I sing People Will Think We're in Love Later.
How about Surrey with the fringe on top?
I'm
Dave Schwann on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yes, indeed. Let's take a quick break. And,
yes, please. Please.
We'll hose ourselves down and continue with more of our one-on-one interviews. Oh, you know what? Speaking of inspired singing, like we've just done.
That just inspired everybody.
I don't think we've ever sung a duet on the show.
I don't think we have either. This is a first.
It's a first today. If you heard it, you're lucky, because I'm pretty sure we're never going to do it again.
Never do it again. We will be told never to do it again.
Never going to happen again. But I've got a pair of tickets to see, much like our own performance, the Magnificent Sistine Chapel Choir. They're doing their first ever performance in Chicago. Schwanny, it's the oldest active choir in the world. It's the Pope's choir from Rome.
I know that.
And they're going to be performing at the Erie Crown Theater July 21st.
Their home venue is quite nice, you might say.
At the Basilica?
Yes.
St. Peter's?
St. Peter's. Sistine Chapel.
Magnificent. Magnificent. They're going to be performing at the Erie Crown Theater on July 21st. And tickets will go on sale through all Ticketmaster outlets. We've got a pair of tickets right now. Caller number 7 will be the winner. 312-981-7200. Caller 7 wins the tickets. Tomorrow morning, speaking of Steve Cochran, hearing Steve there reminding me, we'll be on with him tomorrow at 8:15 in the morning, as always. Talking entertainment. I'll give my review of the Jesus Christ Superstar, just opened at the Lyric Opera. Tomorrow morning, Steve Cochran Show. Kevin Most talking about allergies tomorrow. He's giving away family four-pack of tickets to see the White Sox between 8:30 and 9. All on my pal, Steve Cochran Show. Weekday mornings, 6 to 10. Well, we are getting a magnificent reaction to Dave Schwann and I singing Oh, What a Beautiful Morning. Here is one text saying, Dean, could you ask Lou Manfredini how I get my ears to stop bleeding? Now, see, that's not necessary. Here's another one saying, I probably can't unhear that. Enjoying the show as always. Well, thank you very much for your lovely responses to that. We appreciate it.
That was actually complimentary compared to...
Get Lou Manfredini to get stop my ears from bleeding. $250 million opening weekend for Avengers Infinity Wars, breaking the record, becoming the biggest movie debut of all time. Last weekend, the weekend before, we were in L.A. talking one-on-one with the stars of Infinity Wars, including Josh Brolin, who I think brilliantly plays the bad guy, the most evil of evil villains, Thanos, in this movie. And the secrecy around this movie was unbelievable. When I sat down and talked with Josh, we talked a little bit about that.
Is it better to be with?
I never understood any of that stuff. Yeah. It's meaningless to me.
Yeah.
With and...
I always thought it was contractual or something.
It's contrived is what it
it's
is.
It's contrived. That makes a lot more sense.
And it is contractual, which is almost always contrived.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't matter to me. First, second, third, and with, whatever.
I'll tell you what's important. I'm on Instagram this morning, and I go to the old Josh Brolin Instagram page. And there you are. There you are preparing for today's interviews.
Yeah, man. So, you know, you got to just let it out before you take it in.
Is it like stress relief? Is it
for me to do that?
Preparing to face
anything to bring a chuckle to anybody's life,
you most
including my own.
Yeah, you most
selfishly my own. I'm all for.
Is that like a just like a last minute?
Obviously,
spontaneous?
I didn't read the manual of appropriate behavior. And that's okay with me.
And that's what we love about you. Right. That's what we love about you. So it's weird to be sitting here. None of us have seen the movie.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to see the movie.
By the way, neither have I.
You haven't let you see it either?
They haven't seen it. I don't think anybody's seen it. I would assume if anybody's seen it, Robert has seen it. But I don't even know if that's the case.
Right.
Yeah.
So the only thing that you know about this movie is that you apparently were in, that you shot some scenes for
that's basically
it.
What it
and
is.
And that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I know some things. I know things that would ruin it for
right.
everybody, but I would never.
But I would probably have to be killed if you share that with me.
Or I would be immediate. I'm sure there's a sniper on somewhere.
On both of us.
But that's what makes it fun. They did these world tours and this, and they introduced these people, and then there's nothing to watch. So it's kind of great, created this great mystery, and I guess it's already breaking pre-sale records and all that. I love a good mystery, man. I like not being told. There's something about that. They're like, come on, tell me.
Yeah.
I can know.
No,
well,
it completely enhances the experience.
Yeah.
So what's this like for you to be, you know, part of this universe, part of this... This is madness. I mean, it's like crazy time, isn't it?
But it's not. For me, I'm on Instagram doing my stupid so that's my world, man. You know,
right.
I don't have a sense yet of how big this is or how global this is. And I love being there because it's just, like I, you know, you said, it's a mystery. It's great. And we'll go to the premiere and it'll be kind of a surprise. I know it's supposed to be a fairly big premiere and it's an anticipated movie. We have a couple of anticipated movies this year, which is nice to have.
Yeah.
But doing this, I had no idea the experience was going to be as involved, as fun, as creative, as imaginative as it was. So I had a blast.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to have a blast. I thought, this is fun. This is a cool one to do. I talked to Ruffalo. He was like, you should definitely do this one.
Right, yeah.
But
it's just a different kind of, like, evil kind of role than, say, like No Country for...
Somebody in here said, in this room, said misunderstood, which I thought was a perfect word for this guy. He's misunderstood. And that's why... So I think he's a little multidimensional than people think, as opposed to just evil. I think that's what made it more interesting as we evolved, developed this thing as we were evolving in the story itself.
What do you make of, like, you know, the comic book action genre being the biggest genre of any kind of movie that there is right now. It's an interesting evolution, isn't it?
I would say I was missing out. I'm glad it happened when it happened, but there's something really fun to have such involvement in the fandom of things. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
People have an idea of who this guy is supposed to be, what he's supposed to be, what the movie is supposed to be, what the story should be. So I like expectation. I like pressure. I like creating something that puts it, you know, and then you're going to have a reaction. You're going to have an adverse reaction. Then maybe you'll have a love for it.
Yeah. Josh Brolin, really quite amazing in his role as super bad guy in Infinity War's Thanos. You're going to be seeing him again in, 2 weeks, something like that, in Deadpool 2. We're going to be in New York, actually, for the world premiere of Deadpool 2 with Ryan Reynolds. I imagine that Josh will also be on the red carpet, so pretty sure that we're going to be talking to him again. When we come back from the break, I wanted to share some of the other one-on-one interviews that we did, including with the directors of this movie, the guys that put this all together, Anthony and Joe Russo. That's coming up next on WGN. More of our exclusive one-on-one interviews with the cast, and in this case, the directors of Avengers Infinity War. These are the two guys, brothers, who somehow managed to corral this cast of 29 Marvel superheroes from the 18, now 19 Marvel films from over the past 10 years, somehow meld them all together into this movie and have it make utter, beautiful, wonderful sense to me. My interviews with Anthony and Joe Russo, the directors. Take a listen.
Congratulations on this, although I'm not 100% sure what I'm congratulating you on.
Yes.
I'm just assuming that it's probably turned out
for surviving. Just congratulations.
There actually is no movie. Yeah. That's why nobody's seen
that's
it.
That's going to be the big payoff.
Yeah. We ran out of money. We couldn't finish the film.
Yeah. Have you ever been involved in anything with this much secrecy? Before, it seems unprecedented.
No, this is unprecedented because I think that this has been an unprecedented experiment in filmmaking for the last 10 years, and people have a lot of time and energy and emotion invested in it. We grew up collecting comic books. We were big, you know, movie fans growing up. We were the guys first in line at a midnight screening. So we enforced a lot of the secrecy because this is the ending, and nobody wants the ending spoiled. I mean, if you've put all that time in, you know, you want to come into the theater and have a very fresh experience of viewing the movie.
Yeah. What do you think? You say that this was the experiment. In what way?
Well, I think we've never seen this before, this sort of serialized storytelling over this many franchises and this many successful franchises. So I think that's what's unique about Marvel. And this movie doesn't exist without 10 years and 18 movies behind it. You can't tell a story with this many disparate characters if you have to introduce those characters in a movie. It wouldn't happen in one movie.
I mean, that's the thing, is no one has ever seen a movie like this before. There never has been where you've had this number of characters, where audiences have a history with them and an emotional capital with these characters. It's really unprecedented and unique.
What's it like wrangling all of that?
You'd think it would be harder than it is. I mean, it's physically hard because the movies are so gigantic. But I will say this. It's like everybody involved in these movies, from the cast to the crew, loves doing them. And they know that this is a very special opportunity and a special experience for all of us, both on a working level and for audiences. So everybody brings their very best collaborative energy to the process. Everybody's very mutually supportive. And it's like that's really the only way these movies can work. They're so complex.
Has the success of Black Panther raised the bar in some way?
Without question. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the reception of that movie was amazing. And it's an incredible film. So there's always going to be expectations. And,
So do you go back then, given the success of Black Panther, and say, you know, maybe we should put them in more scenes, maybe we should add more Black Panther?
That happened so late in our process, and those characters were already a really important part of the film. But, you know, we had worked with Black Panther in Civil War. He's a character that we love.
We were really moving his story forward. We were already very grounded in Black Panther's point of view from introducing him in Civil War.
Yeah.
So his presence and the Wakanda presence in the movie was really born there.
Yeah. For us. If this movie, were made back in the day, can you think of classic actors that would be like really great old school actors who would be could be Iron Man or Thor or...
Oh, that's interesting.
I just all of a sudden had an image of Brando as the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Cary Grant as Tony Stark.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a fun exercise. I never really thought of it. But who else would you put
in
there?
Recast it. We should just, come up with a whole recast with classic actors.
Yeah, well, I wonder who you would put into it. Classic, great old school actors. Would Bogart have a role in this film somewhere? Cary Grant, go down the list of some of the greats. Give it a little thought. 312-981-7200. A quick break and we'll update news. Next, WGN.
And we have sunny skies 52 at O'Hare. We still are seeing delays on the blue line. This after a fatal accident this morning at Addison. A person was struck by a blue line train in the 3600 block of West Addison. Two other people are hospitalized because of trauma after witnessing that accident. Number 56 Milwaukee buses should be considered for alternative service through the area. The ZTA says they're working to restore normal service as quickly as possible. So again, allow extra time on the blue line as a result of that fatal accident early this morning. Chicago police have released surveillance video of a person wanted in connection with a stabbing in the Loop last Friday. It happened in the 100 block of West Van Buren when the person asked another man for a cigarette. The victim was stabbed in the stomach and neck but is in stable condition. Jake Dixon, who works in the Loop, says incidents like this make him think twice about who he talks to.
It's just kind of hard, like, talking to strangers and drawing that line of, like, all right, I've never met this guy, I'd be letting him get, like, this close to me.
The video shows the stabber wearing a light blue jacket, a light blue hat, rather, a dark jacket with a name tag on the right pocket. Photos are available on the Chicago Tribune website. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is being described by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as a true friend of Israel. Pompeo and Netanyahu will be talking about Iran today. This is part of Pompeo's first official trip abroad. A SWAT team was in place for over 2 hours this morning on the 6,000 block of West Diversey in the Belmont Central neighborhood. They were responding to an incident involving a person with a gun. No details as to what happened there. The scene was cleared shortly after 6:30 this morning. Both the FBI and Hammond police are investigating the holdup of a Brinks truck outside the Chase Bank branch on Calumet Avenue on Friday. A security officer in the truck said three bags of cash and his gun were taken. So, Dean, you wanted some information on the correspondence dinner at the White House.
Well, I was just hearing that it was that even President Trump trashed it. Yeah, you would expect that, but even reporters from the New York Times and others said that the host, Michelle Wolf, was a little harsh.
Well, we have one cut here that I think is a little milder than some of the other things that I was aware of. Dinner host Michelle Wolf was best known for her role on The Daily Show, was poking fun at the news media because of the amount of time devoted to covering the president. Here's what she said.
You guys are obsessed with Trump. Did you used to date him? Because you pretend like you hate him, but I think you love him.
Okay. You still there?
Okay.
And, of course, the president, for the second time, told the White House correspondents he would not attend the annual dinner. He held a rally with his supporters instead. ABC's Andy Field was there.
The president saying he'd rather be with people who like him in Washington, Michigan, than with those he claims don't in Washington, D.C.
Is this better than that phony Washington White House correspondence dinner? Is this more fun?
The president's press secretary and top aides did not share Mr. Trump's feelings. They are at the correspondence dinner back home. Andy Field, ABC News, the White House.
That phony correspondence dinner that he always used to attend all the time.
Before he became president.
That one?
Something like
where,
that.
Where presidents would sit and be poked fun at. he just wouldn't do it. When he became president,
now,
suddenly it's a phony.
The tables are turned.
That's not right. Yeah.
As I say, there were some a little more blunt comments from Michelle Wolf.
Much more blunt. I was reading some of the other comments, and she tore into the president. There's no question. So
yeah.
If you're interested, it's all available online, of course.
It certainly is. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
In about 30 minutes, we'll start our coverage of the White Sox and the Royals series finale in Kansas City. Pregame will come your way at 12:40. Ed and DJ, the call at 1:15 from Kauffman Stadium here on WGN. Sox will send Hector Santiago to the mound facing the Royals' Ian Kennedy. Dylan Covey optioned to AAA after yesterday's doubleheader. Cubs and the Brewers will finish up their series this afternoon at Wrigley Field. Tyler Chatwood for the Cubs today against Zach Davies for Milwaukee. The Cubs have shut out Milwaukee four times this month and have won six of the seven meetings between the two clubs. NBA playoffs just underway. The Cavaliers and the Pacers in Game 7 of their Eastern Conference first-round series. Later in the Western Conference, it's Houston hosting Utah. That's Game 1 of the Western Conference semifinals. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs coming up this afternoon. Game 2 in the Eastern Conference second-round series between Washington and Pittsburgh. Penguins up 1-0 in that series. In the West, the second round continues with Nashville hosting Winnipeg. The Jets lead that series 1-0. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and Chicago White Sox baseball, Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
WGN traffic. As we reported at the beginning of the news, a blue line delay after a fatal accident at Addison around 9 o'clock this morning. The trains in both directions are operating on the same track between Logan Square, Belmont, and Irving Park stations because of this accident. Shuttle buses are available between California and Jefferson Park, and you should consider using the number 56 Milwaukee bus for alternative service through that affected area. On the expressways, the Kennedy now inbound from O'Hare, a 40-minute trip from O'Hare to downtown, 40 minutes back out from downtown to O'Hare. On the Eisenhower, it's a 25-minute trip from Wolf Road to downtown. And speaking of downtown, we have a car fire on Michigan Avenue, which is causing disruptions between 16th and 14th Streets on South Michigan Avenue. Northbound Michigan closed at 14th specifically because of that car fire. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, a sunny afternoon, high in the low 60s, around 50 near the lake. Fair, not as cold tonight, a low around 40, mostly sunny, warmer tomorrow, high in the mid to upper 70s. Tuesday, even better, sunny, with highs perhaps around 80.
How about that?
Doesn't that sound wonderful? As someone who enjoys cooking, are you going to have the grill ready to go, do you think, this week?
My grill is always ready to go, Shawnee. I'm not going to have time to do anything today or tomorrow, but maybe Tuesday.
I am determined to do something on Tuesday.
I'm thinking a little salmon on the grill on Tuesday. I sort of have a taste. I haven't had my famous honey mustard salmon on the grill for a while.
Oh, all right.
You know how easy that is? Take a piece of salmon. Put some honey mustard on top of it.
And cook it.
And then you put it skin. I keep the skin on.
Keep the skin on,
skin
right.
Skin side down on
right.
the grill.
Right.
And you cook it maybe like 7 minutes or
That's
something.
That's all you need.
About. It doesn't take long. You can tell when it's done. And then it'll slide right off the skin. And it's got that nice honey mustard taste. I like to put a little fresh dill on top if I have it. Mm-hmm. If not, I sprinkle a little dry dill on it. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
Yep. I've done the same thing with rainbow trout.
Yeah. Maybe throw some nice asparagus on the grill also. Nice thick. You know, I like the thicker ones on the grill. They cook better on the grill.
Yeah.
Give them a nice little char, olive oil and balsamic vinegar. Call it a day.
Yep. What a wonderful way to lead into the food time portion of the program.
Well, we're going to get to that in a minute.
That's right.
We're a little abbreviated
today. That's exactly why
today.
I brought it in. 52 now, sunny skies at O'Hare, 51 at Midway, 45 at the lakefront. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You know who this is? You should know this. You're Mr. Jazzy Head.
That's Count Basie.
That is Count Basie. Good for you. Wow. Count Basie, live in Chicago back in 1963. Now, what I thought I was going to hear there is...
Jumping at the Woodside.
It's Jumping at the Woodside. But what it's labeled on YouTube is Count Basie Chicago. So I thought it was Count Basie's My Kind of Town.
My Kind of Town, Chicago.
That's what I really wanted to play here. But this is just fine as well. I'm digging this, too.
Also known as Lester Leaps In.
Swings, man. This is the greatest.
Oh, Basie was always so much fun.
But no, I get the cold sweat nightmares from Kenny G. Why can't I remember the few Count Basie songs that I played when I was over at
So I take
Casa
it you're not going to make a special trip to Napa Valley.
No, I will not. No. I can still hear Kenny G in my head when I close my eyes. Paid a lot of money for electroshock therapy to get rid of that. And it still hasn't happened. I'll tell you why I was going to play.
What, you had that blank stare walking out of the building.
That's right. The reason why I wanted to play Chicago, My Kind of Town is because two amazing Chicagoans, ironically, passed away yesterday, who I think were like two of the coolest Chicago guys that you will ever meet. One of them's name was Art Paul. Are you familiar with his name at all, Art Paul? He was a native of the Southwest Side, later moved to Rogers Park, went to Sullivan High School. But he is probably best remembered as the founding art director of Playboy magazine. Worked for Hugh Hefner for 30 years and was in charge of the design of the magazine. Lifelong Chicagoan, he is the man who designed the famous Playboy logo.
With the bunny, the ears and the lettering, the way the font.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. He's the guy that designed that. That has to be one of the most recognizable logos on the planet, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely.
On the planet.
Yeah.
He was just a quintessential, dimensional, important Chicagoan, worked with Salvador Dali and Andy Warhol and go down the list, but his own works were quite extensive. Passed away age 93 yesterday. But also a man who I've had the pleasure of meeting several times and will never forget any of my meetings with Art Shea.
I met Art Shea.
Art Shea was such a great guy. And I just learned from his obituary, we have the same birth date. March 31st. I never knew that. Many times as I've met him. He was a photographer, worked for Life magazine, Time magazine, Sports Illustrated. He was a navigator in the Air Force during World War II, flew 52 bomber missions, and photographed celebrities, photographed seven presidents, some of the most famous people on the face of the earth. But also photographed people who were not famous, but created iconic images with some of his amazing photographs. There's a great photo, maybe my favorite photo that he took, 1968, outside of the Conrad Hilton Hotel. It's called the Conrad Hilton at the Times. And there was a big sign on it, you know, because the Democratic Convention was headquartered there. Big sign on the side of the hotel that said, "Welcome to Chicago." And then just below that, armed guards, National Guard with rifles and bayonets, and Chicago police, "Welcome to Chicago." It was such a great photograph. But here was one of the most colorful, interesting guys that you ever want to meet. And he passed away of heart failure yesterday, same day. Both of the arts passed away the same day. He was 96 years old and died at his home in Deerfield. What was your impression of him when you met him?
Well, pretty much your impression, the fact that he was a very colorful character. You know who he was best friends with was the Chicago writer Nelson Algren.
Nelson Algren, yeah.
They knew each other very, very well. Also Studs Terkel.
Yeah.
And in our conversation, an interview I did with him, he talked about Ernest Hemingway, and he also talked about the fact that at time in his career in World War II, the person he got to know who was a pilot, a very accomplished pilot, James Stewart.
About that?
Jimmy Stewart.
The actor Jimmy Stewart. And just to show you his range, a project that he had been working on more recently was on the life of Smashing Pumpkins Billy Corgan. So he could go from Nelson Algren to Jimmy Stewart, to Ernest Hemingway, to working with Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins. He was just an amazingly a nonstop curious guy. But you want to talk about a colorful Chicago guy. That was Art Shea. So our condolences to his family as well. Quick break, and we'll talk with our pal Rick Bayless as we get ready for Cinco de Mayo and the James Beard Awards that are coming up in Chicago. Well, next, 1221, Dean Richards.
What color is
Sunday morning. One of the things that brought so much Mexican culture to us in the last 6 months or so is the amazing film Coco. Another thing that has been bringing wonderful aspects of Mexican culture to us, the great food from our pal Rick Bayless's Frontera Grill, Topolobampo, his many television shows, his cookbooks. Always a pleasure to welcome our old pal Rick Bayless to the program. Hello there, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing just great. How are you, Dean?
You must have been, you know, I didn't even think of this when the movie came out. You must have been completely blown away by this movie, Coco, if you even had time to watch it. But, I mean, it's so much of what you've been talking about all these years, the rich Mexican culture.
It so is. It's super cool because when I saw that it was a Disney production, I kind of thought, I'll see if they can actually do it. But they did an amazing job. They spent massive amounts of time down in Mexico. They went to my favorite place, Oaxaca, for Day of the Dead, and they patterned it off after what you find there in Oaxaca. I mean, I was blown away because it really captured the essence of what that holiday's like and so much of Mexican culture.
Yeah, I thought of you so much when I saw this movie that, like, this Rick has been talking about this lovely side of Mexican culture for as long as I've known you, and yep. here is a movie that brought it up to the big screen. For a couple of reasons, I'm always happy to have you here on the program, but the Cinco de Mayo celebration is coming up in a couple of days, but also the James Beard Awards are also a week from tomorrow here.
That's
again,
right. It's
here in Chicago.
The day after Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
The two biggest things in my world right now are Cinco de Mayo in all of our restaurants, followed by the James Beard Awards, because those are the biggest awards for our industry in the country. And there'll be about 2,000 people that come for it.
Yeah, and recognize Chicago for the culinary capital that it is. How many Beard Awards do you hold now?
It's a lot for a show. I think I'm up to 8
now.
That's
amazing. So amazing and so deserving. Are you nominated for anything this year?
No, thank goodness. We won the big prize last year, which is the Outstanding Restaurant of the Year, and we got it for Topolobampo. There's only one other chef in the country that's ever gotten it twice. We got it for Frontera a decade ago. And then for Topolo this last year, and thank goodness they have not nominated us for anything, so we can just go and enjoy the festivities and not be on the edge of our seats.
Yeah.
But I will be presenting that big award this year because that's sort of the tradition that's arisen in the Beard Awards, is that whoever wins it the year before gets to present it to the next recipient.
Very nice. Well, we'll definitely see you on the red carpet. We'll be covering it on the red carpet.
Yes,
as we always do for WGN-TV. And what do you have planned for the restaurants for Cinco de Mayo?
You know what? We have got, we are going to make a lot of margaritas. That's what I'll tell you we're going to be doing. We've got some specials that are coming up. But to tell you the truth, it's just one of the most festive and jovial holidays. It's a kind of funny thing because, you know, it's not a big deal in Mexico. It's a little bit like St. Patrick's Day in Ireland. It's not one of the top holidays, but it's become something really big in the United States. But the one thing that our listeners have to know is that it is not Mexican Independence Day. It just commemorates a particular battle in a particular war that Mexico won. And so that's why we all celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Any time to enjoy a nice margarita.
There you go.
And some of the fine food. When Rick is with us on the show, he always leaves us with a recipe or two that we can try for ourselves. And you sent us a recipe for chilied shrimp tacos. Chilied shrimp tacos. Yes. What's involved in that?
Okay, so when you've got some chili in a dried chili in any way, shape, or form, I'm just going to tell you a really quick thing that I think all of our listeners will be able to actually do even without looking at the recipe. But one of the things that is a weapon in my pantry all the time is canned chipotle chilies.
Okay.
And so one of the things that I like to do is caramelize some onions, put some shrimp in there that are peeled. You can chop them up to the size that you think will be perfect for your taco, and then chop up some of the canned chipotle chilies. So the canned chipotle is a smoke-dried jalapeno. So it's going to be spicy like a jalapeno. But it's also going to have this beautiful smokiness to it.
Right.
And it comes canned in a vinegary tomato sauce. And you use a little bit of that to season this. So you've got caramelized onions, some cooked shrimp, some smoky chipotle chilies. And I'll tell you that that's just beautiful as a taco filling.
And
maybe put a slice of an avocado in there if you want to. That would make it delicious.
Are you sauteing all of that together? Or
yes.
Maybe on the grill?
You could do it on the grill, in which case I would probably grill sliced rounds of onion first, brush them with a little bit of oil and sprinkle them with some salt and put those on the grill. Or if you're going to saute, we'll see if the Cinco de Mayo is going to cooperate this year and be a warm enough day to be out at the grill. But even if it's not, I like to caramelize the onions in a saute pan with some oil and let them cook slowly until they're rich and sweet.
Yeah.
And then add the shrimp and saute that with
Put it all into the tortilla shell with some shredded cheese. And
I don't know about the shredded cheese
part
of this point, because I'm not a big fan of shrimp and cheese. That's my own personal thing.
Okay.
But if you are, put the cheese in there. I would choose the avocado, a slice of avocado over the cheese.
I would too. It's in the recipe that I have in front of me here. So that's why I was going for that. Your choice. I mean, really, that's the beauty of these recipes, is that you can improvise and do as you please.
That's right.
We're going to put all these recipes that may or that Rick may or may not endorse.
There's a whole lot of different ones. And when you said the name of that recipe, I wasn't thinking of the one that you were referring to there. I was thinking of another one. That's the Chipotle one. But there's the one that you've got there. It comes from a street vendor that's down on the coast of Oaxaca in the town of Puerto Escondido. And they make these things that are called encamaronadas. And that is an amazing, it's a little bit more involved because you do add the cheese to it. And you make basically like a shrimp quesadilla out of these. But I have to say, they are addictive beyond belief.
I think I like your first one because it's super simple.
It's super simple.
Yeah, you can't.
And it's related to the one that I was telling you about.
Yeah, very, very similar.
It depends on how deep you want to get into the cooking.
We're going to put them all up on the web here at WGNradio.com. Rick, we'll see you soon. Happy Cinco de Mayo. I'll see you at the James Beard Awards. The award-winning
Absolutely.
Rick Bayless. Always nice to have him with us. Quick break, and then we'll get a quick check of news and get ready for White Sox baseball. WGN News, Dave Schwann is standing by with details, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
A fatal accident on the Blue Line at Addison this morning continues to cause delays on the Blue Line. Happened around 9 o'clock in the 3600 block of West Addison. Two people were hospitalized due to trauma after witnessing the accident. National Security Advisor John Bolton is reacting coolly to word that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un would be willing to give up his nuclear weapons if the U.S. commits to a formal end to the Korean War. Bolton told CBS's Face the Nation, "We've heard this before," and he says North Korea's playbook is an infinitely rich resource. The FBI and Hammond police working to find the person who held up an armored truck outside a Chase Bank branch on Calumet Avenue in Hammond. The driver of the truck told the police that two men were wearing masks and took three bags of cash and his gun. WGN Sports, White Sox in Kansas City go at it again today in the series finale.
Wish there was some place I could hear that game.
You can, right here on 720 WGN. As a matter of fact, Dean, the pregame with our own Andy Mazur begins in 4 minutes.
The maze.
4 minutes from Mark.
4 minutes to the maze.
4 minutes to the maze. The first pitch, 1:15, with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson right here on 720 WGN.
What would your sports nickname?
Oh, it'd have to be Schwanny.
I call you Schwanny all the time.
I know. Well, other people have called me the Schwanster.
Oh.
You like that?
No.
The Schwanster.
No, that sounds wrong
you
to
don't.
Me.
Okay. Anything else we probably can't say on the
sounds
air.
Sounds like I should call HR right now.
The Cubs playing Milwaukee, that game getting underway at 1:20 this afternoon. And we have, again, pregame coming up in now 3 minutes, 15 seconds from Mark.
He's the
right
Schwanster.
Here on 720 WGN.
Yeah, the Schwanster.
WGN.
Doesn't sound right.
You don't like it? You know who gave me that name?
Doesn't sound right to me.
You know who first started calling me that?
I don't.
Max Armstrong.
Really?
Yes. Many years ago. The Schwanster.
He didn't call you young man like he called everyone else?
He called
else?
Me that young man also, yes.
Hey, young man.
Yep. He did that, too.
The Schwanster.
He did that, too. So,
I'm sticking with Schwanny.
It works. It works universally.
You should have a sportsy.
Well, we got to come up with something then, can't we?
Right.
Schwanny doesn't work for you doing that?
No, I guess.
All right.
I just call you that all the time.
We now have 2.5 minutes before we...
No. Well, you got a bus to catch? What's the rush?
No, I've got to do a traffic report in the weather yet.
All right. It's not going to take you 2 hours to do that.
2 minutes. 2 minutes.
17 seconds.
WGN traffic.
But who's counting?
On the Kennedy now, the busiest travel time here is downtown out to O'Hare on the Kennedy. It's 40 minutes. O'Hare to downtown is 36 minutes. And on the Eisenhower, Wolf Road to downtown, a 26-minute trip. As we reported at the beginning of the newscast, the Blue Line running now with residual delays following the earlier accident at Addison. Finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off.
This is in
Spot
case I
Hero,
have to cut you
park
off.
Smarter.
If I have to cut you off, at least I'll have the music.
For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by Team Hochberg
and
Pearl Mortgage.
Minute and a half, Schwann.
Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. We're talking over the vocal. This is wrong. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. A sunny afternoon.
Minute 15,
high in the low 60s. Upper 40s near the lake. Fair tonight. Not as cold. Low around 40. Mostly sunny and warmer tomorrow. Highs in the mid to upper 70s. Tuesday, I have to say it again. Mostly sunny. We could hit 80. 52
That's
now.
That's baseball weather right
it's
there.
It's baseball weather. It is, young man.
That's me sitting out there and having some peanuts and a cold beer.
52 and sunny skies at O'Hare. 51 at Midway.
50 seconds, Schwann.
45 degrees at the lakefront. I'm Gabe Schwann.
What's the barometric pressure?
The barometric pressure? Hang on a second. Barometric pressure is 30.38 and falling. We have no wind gusting, although the winds are variable at 7 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. You know what the weather's going to be in Miami?
Not offhand, no. I don't have not that.
Come on, you got 25 seconds.
25 seconds. Well, all right, we can do this very slowly here. Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour, and of course, Pam Jones will have updates throughout the game
15.
And after the game. I'm Dave Schwann on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I'm Dean Richards, and that's all for today. See you tomorrow morning on Steve Cochran Show and on the WGN TV Morning News tomorrow. Goodbye. You have a good night.